Hello, fellow homebrewers. JP here, and I want to introduce to you the brand new Brewbuilt X1 Conical Series available at More Beer. More Beer sells the highest standard in homebrewing equipment, and the Brewbuilt Conicals are just that. They're made from mirror-polished 304 stainless steel, and they come with loads of features that you and I have been looking for. They have a full 2-inch bottom dump valve, which will eliminate your clogging issues, while the sturdy base includes 4 reinforced legs, just like those big pro tanks do. More Beer also carries the Brewbuilt line of options and add-ons like casters, pressure kits, and even external glycol chillers. So you can find out more about the new Brewbuilt X1 conical uni tanks by going over to morebeer.com for detailed videos on the entire line of Brewbuilt conicals. You can trust Brewbuilt with your next fermentation, and you can trust More Beer to find the right conical for you. Brewbuilt at morebeer.com.
The Vietnam War, it's over.
Your job's just begun.
A new HBO original limited series.
Welcome to the world of spycraft. Strap in.
From executive producers Park Chan-wook and Robert Downey Jr.
What are you concealing?
Based on the Pulitzer Prize-winning novel by Viet Thanh Nguyen.
What if I told you that I was a communist spy?
How did you become this?
The Sympathizer. Streaming April 14th on Max. Subscription required.
Today's Sunday session is proudly brought to you by More Beer at www.morebeer.com.
I poured in my mouth and it just wasn't going down.
My first beer was an IPA, the best IPA I've ever drank, mostly because I brewed it.
If you have a scale that is good for measuring cocaine, you're probably good for measuring hops.
You're scaring me.
I think the information is awesome and the audio sucks.
There's some sugary water, throw some yeast in there,
and you're going to drink good beer.
Yeah,
it's going to be good.
It's fine.
God damn it, man. Oh, my God.
From the Brewing Network Studios in Northern California, this is the radio program for home brewers, craft brewers, beer lovers, and beer geeks. It's your only source for live beer radio that brings expert brewers together with, well, expert drinkers. This is the radio program with a head on it. This is The Session.
Super hello.
You know what's great about Super Bowl Sunday?
No.
Drinking before noon.
Yeah.
Everybody's going to be drunk of the week.
Does it need to be Super Bowl Sunday to do that?
Yeah, I think it's important.
It legitimizes it.
That was traveling. Why didn't they call him for trailers, refs?
Hey. Yeah. Tasty was drunk when he got here, I think.
Every place you go around here, because it's winter time, all the beers are like really strong. It's just hard to like get a medium buzz go.
Oh, it's true.
I'm going to beer releases, and of course they're releasing strong beers. So
you're pre-gaming it for SF Beer Week.
Yeah. Air place.
Really.
All places air place.
Yeah, wasn't it Pliny the Youngest or something was out this week?
That was on Friday. Yeah. Pliny the Younger.
Did it taste like it did last year?
No, tasted better than last year, actually.
Wow.
Yeah.
Isn't that like a line down the street for that or something?
They went around the corner onto D Street.
They started lining up.
Natalie and Vinny were doing some high fives.
Yeah.
I mean, they are into that shit, I think.
Right.
They thought that was pretty
cool. They started lining up at 6 a.m. apparently, or earlier.
Good for them, but I will reiterate the point I have made several times. I am not waiting in line for fucking beer.
No.
I mean, I'll wait like 4 deep at a bar. Don't get me wrong. I'm not that much of a snob, but, you know. I'm not going to do it.
It's beer, right? At the end of the day, it's just beer.
But you got to be the first so you can tweet about it before anybody else.
And that's the other thing.
About that.
You know, fuck you.
And then 8 seconds later, someone's going to forget all about it, and it'll be the next day.
No. Right. They're on to the next release that's happening in Iowa or something.
Did you get to taste the Pliny the Younger last week?
No, I totally missed it. I had to take my mom to the hospital.
I had it.
You did?
I was there.
Tell me all about it. What were your tasting notes?
I waited in line for 4 hours. I was there at 6 a.m.
But your comments on the beer, I would like to know.
Well, first of all, I was there at 6 a.m. That's important.
Well, but
and
so maybe your palate wasn't the best. Go ahead, continue.
Well, I got there really early. I locked my baby in a car, and because I didn't have a sitter, but I had to get to the Pliny the Younger.
Well, that's fine. You probably had OnStar, right?
I did. I have.
You could have just turned on OnStar and said, "Please watch my baby."
I have OnStar, and so I waited in line from 6 a.m. Yes. And there's other people there.
But tell me about the beer. I would like to know its aroma and its color compared to the last 5 years, because I have all of those tasting notes.
Well,
because beer is very important to who I am.
Well, after I got there at 6 a.m. and waited for 4 hours, yes. I did finally get up to the bar.
Yeah, yes, please, now continue.
And when I got there, Vinny was there. Vinny was right there.
Oh, my
Vinny
God.
Vinny was at the bar.
Did he serve you the beer? Did you talk to him about your impressions
I didn't talk
of the
to,
beer?
Well, I did. I saw him. I didn't talk to him, but I saw him from, well, he was at the other side of the bar for me, but he was down there. It was definitely Vinny.
Was he drinking a Pliny the Younger?
Well,
Younger, right? Is that how it's pronounced?
I couldn't see because he was really far down at the other end of the bar, but it was definitely Vinny. I'm sure it was Vinny.
Well, was he at least appearing to be enjoying the beverage he was consuming?
I'm pretty sure. I couldn't see too much. He was facing the other way. He was looking the other way. I only saw the back of his head. I'm positive it was Vinny's head. I'm positive. So
well,
I don't.
Did when he drank out of his beverage of choice, uh-huh, did his uh-huh head turn uh-huh one way or the other? Because I've noticed from watching him, yes, which direction?
Back.
No.
Back.
And then maybe to, because I've noticed that when he does drink and he's very excited, because I do uh-huh watch him a lot, uh-huh, his head kind of turns to the left a little bit.
Right, right.
And then
I've noticed that.
To the right. And then then he does it again, and it's very
him
nice.
It was him.
I
noticed that. It was him.
That is very nice.
And then after I waited in line from 6 a.m. and 4 hours and got to the bar and saw Vinny at the other end of the bar, I ordered my, of course, the Pliny the Younger.
It's pronounced Pliny the Younger.
You're right. You're right. My apologies.
Thank you.
My apologies.
Thank you.
Pliny the Younger.
Yeah.
But of course, I didn't want to ruin my palate. You know, you have to drink beers in order. So I started with just a pale ale. I ordered two beers at once. I ordered the pale ale and the Younger.
That's fine. That's okay. But I would like to know, please, about this release, because it must be very special because it's only done on one day every year.
Listen,
so it must be special.
It's very special.
Is it different than beer?
I'll remember the day forever. Yes. First of all, I told you I locked my baby in the car. My baby died later that day.
Oh, well, that's okay. You can make another one. You can't.
Right.
You can make.
There's
look,
like one younger.
Look, you can make a baby.
Yeah.
You can make a baby faster
right
than Pliny the Younger.
Yeah, you're right. And
so,
I got the Younger. And my wife was okay with it, too. She said, well, I came home and I said, honey, our baby's dead. And she said, did you get the Younger?
Yeah.
And I said, yeah. And she said, fucking high
well, that's
five,
really
buddy
the only
high
thing.
High five. High
that's
five,
the only
high
thing
five,
you can do.
High five. And
that's the only thing that can happen in this situation.
So I tasted the Younger and the Younger.
Yeah.
I've never tasted anything like it in my life. Never, never, never.
Tell me how it compared to the last 5 years.
You can't compare.
No?
You can't even compare.
It's different?
Can't even compare.
But it's a double.
No comparison.
It's a double APA, right?
Did I mention Vinny was there?
Yes, but well, now see, now last year I thought he did have this vestment with dispensing things out of his nipples.
But he was
talking about going around and dispensing the golden Pliny the Younger from his nipples.
I would do it. I would drink it.
Was he doing that or was he not? I need to know for my blog.
He didn't do it, but I would drink it. I would have drank it today.
No. I saw a tweet that he was not even drinking the Younger, that he was drinking Damnation because it was the wrong glass.
You know, that is just like him to really support whatever.
That's my take on waiting in line for beer.
It was mostly. They're really like pale 25-year-olds. I didn't see any beer shirts or hoodies, ball
really
caps. And no, they're like, I don't know, preppy looking people.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was weird.
Well,
they
weren't
that's
weird.
You were
in Santa Rosa.
Geeks, probably. But.
Yeah.
I went in, of course. I don't wait in line. I wouldn't go there. I'm like you, Jay. I wouldn't stand in line for beer. There's plenty of other beer to have.
Right.
Right. So we, you know, we get the pass.
Yeah.
And of course, we get in, and I got my wristband and everything. So I went out and like looked at the line, see who is it, who's doing this kind of stuff.
Yeah,
they all look like amateurs to me.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah. Did you get on the news this year, Tasty?
No, that all happened before.
Oh, it did.
I wouldn't have anyway. I had an escape plan.
I made the news, but it was because my baby died in the car.
And then I tried making one with it sitting in its own car seat.
Aww.
Oh, dude.
Is that too much?
That's too much.
You know that scene in Trainspotting where they realize that their baby is dead? It looked like that, but a little more bloated from the sun.
God. Yeah. That's what
Super Bowl Sunday!
We got a great show planned for you today. We're talking to Mazen Hajar. He's the founder and CEO of 961 Beer. I think it's the only microbrewery in Lebanon. And those of you fans who have been with us for a long time, you might remember Mazen because we talked to him at the Great American Beer Festival when we used to actually do our shows from the GABF. We talked to him back in 2008, I think it was. And he's a good guy. He's got a really interesting story. We're going to learn a little bit about what it's like brewing with bombs going off overhead and things like that. I think I remember him telling us that at the GABF. And pretty interesting region to start a craft brewery.
Anything in.
So
except leave.
We're going to talk to Mazen about that and find out all about 961 Beer.
Yeah.
So
I'm
join the chat room.
This.
Yeah, he's an interesting guy. Yeah. You can hit the chat now button, hit the chat button on the homepage, and Susie is in there helping us out today. She'll get your questions over to me.
I mean, you talk about craft beer revolutionaries, right? Like, you know, some of these people in craft beer that are just servers. Think that they're like super epic beer, like I'm the spokesperson for beer. You're not doing shit compared to Mazen, dude, right? you go to some war torn area where there's a lot of strife and you start making craft beer in a desert.
Yeah.
I mean, I got to think that that's just an insane thing to do, but apparently it's working and it's working pretty well. So
yeah, their growth, we're going to hear a little bit about, they're about to do, something like 60,000 barrels this year.
Wow.
Wow, that's huge.
So those Lebanese. They're liking their craft beer right now.
I guess.
So it's a good story. So we'll be talking to Mazen in just a little while. Get ready for that. A couple of announcements to go through. You guys probably already know the National Homebrewers Conference sold out in 48
like a day
hours.
Or two.
Yeah, it's two days. Wow. I think it was 48 hours.
2 days.
It just plain sold out. They
so that's it.
I'd never get that's. There's now a wait list. And people do drop out of the NAC. I've heard it happen quite a bit. You know, you think you get the time off, but you can't. Your wife's a bitch. Whatever happens.
That's weird.
So there is a wait list. I would encourage you, if you wanted to go to the conference, I'd go right now over to homebrewersassociation.org and sign up on the wait list. Actually, I guess it's ahaconference.org. But you can. There's still a chance you can make it. Yeah. I'm going to start scalping these tickets
next year. I was
going to say,
there's going to be people selling tickets, right? I mean, just like on Craigslist?
No.
No?
No, homebrewers don't do that. If you end up with extra tickets, somebody you know always wants to go to the conference. But it's only a matter of time before scalping does start to happen with this event.
How many tickets did they sell? I mean, you know,
I think 1,500.
Wow.
1,500.
This is going to be a conference,
but man. I think that's less than San Diego.
It is.
San Diego had 1,900.
Yeah, quote me on all this, but I'm pretty sure that it was a smaller hotel this year, so they knew that they couldn't grow from last year. And if you sell 1,500, then you got to account for the vendors and their tickets, the craft brewers who are going to be there for pro night and their tickets, staff.
All that nonsense.
Speakers, judges, you name it. So there's going to be a hell of a lot of people there. It's going to be a good time. The main conference hotel also sold out, as far as I could tell.
Wow.
But there is still an overflow hotel. So I'm just telling you all this because I've got my recommendation is to get on the wait list, and you can still book your hotel, and they're going to be adding a couple of other overflow hotels too. So don't worry too much about that. But, wow. 2 days.
Good. Yeah.
You know? I think that our BNA 7 is going to sell out pretty quickly based on that. I mean, what happened last year? Our VIP tickets sold out in like 4 hours. I'm going to have to be careful with that this year.
Wow.
Yeah. I would sign, if I were you, I would sign up as a recurring donor in the BN Army.
Oh.
And you're going to get first notice and first dibs on when those BNA 7 tickets go on sale. But you got to be a recurring donor, not a one-time donor. Although I love you also, there's just no way for us to keep track of that email list. But the recurring donors, you're on this email list, and this year we are going to be sending out some notice. So that's just my advice. You know,
that's just how it goes.
Be smart.
You get
even
more bang for your buck that way.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You'd be wise to take it.
You know, the other thing that you get by becoming a recurring donor, our sponsor of this program, More Beer, you can go over to morebeer.com and check them out. They own the Sunday Session. We belong to them.
That's true.
I'm their bitch.
Yeah.
And
what does it make us?
If you're my bitches, I guess. You're like sub-bitches.
Bitch by proxy.
I'm alpha bitch.
Well, I think that'd be Olin and Chris.
Chief bitch.
Right.
You're beta bitch.
Right.
Yeah.
That's true. So by signing up to become a recurring donor, you also get involved in the More Beer Monthly raffle. And we do that every month. We just drew a name and emailed that person this week, as a matter of fact. And it's a $100 gift certificate to More Beer. So we give away $100 a month to that thing. So you can sign up for as little as $2 to support the show and get a chance every single month to win $100 to More Beer.
Pretty good.
Yeah. $100 goes a long way. That's
yeah.
a couple batches of beer, right?
Oh, yeah.
Easily.
$2 to win 100? Good odds.
Even by my math, that's pretty good odds.
It's like 3-1.
Yeah. Yeah. And yeah, then you can wait like and hold on to that thing till you find something good on Deal of the Day.
Oh.
So you get something on sale.
Oh, that's a good point.
Yeah.
There is a good Deal of the Day over at More Beer. So, all right. So thanks to them. Another announcement, you know, SF Beer Week is coming up here.
Yay.
It starts on the 10th, I believe.
This Friday. You know. The opening gala, yeah.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. That's right. I got to sort that out. I think I'm supposed to go to that.
I won't wait in a line that's shorter than 4 hours to get to anywhere that has beer. I just won't do it.
Where are you going for SF Beer Week?
Well, what has the longest line?
That's where I want to be, right? Oh, you mean it's already sold out? Yeah, but I'm on the waiting list.
SF Beer Week is sold out the whole week.
Yeah, it's just done.
I'm just waiting in San Francisco for 4 hours.
For something to happen.
Where?
Anywhere.
14th and Folsom.
Yeah. What's there?
Sports bar.
I don't know.
Yeah, we're actually going to be doing an event with Firestone Walker at Zeitgeist.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
I love that. Cool. Place.
Matt Brennelson's coming to town, and we're going to be talking to Firestone Walker and Trumer. You guys remember Lars Larson?
Yes,
I think it's going to be Lars. I'm going to sit down with the two of them for a little powwow at Zeitgeist. It'll be a live show out there at Zeitgeist. That will be on Thursday, February 16th. Out there, We'll tweet book you more details when I have them.
Oh, I'll have to get my fixed gear bike all oiled up then.
Yeah, do that and then wait in line to listen
wait,
to me.
Wait, you're going to make me wait in line?
Yes. To listen to me talk to Matt and Lars. So that's going to be a good time. Happy to be doing that with Firestone. It'll be fun. All right. Other ways to support the show, you can click Amazon link through our homepage. You can bookmark it. I saw people bookmarking the Amazon link, and then you don't even have to go through our homepage. You go straight to that Amazon every time you shop, and it helps us out. There's also a new iPhone case up there. It's pretty sweet. It's got a hop grenade on it, and it's a bottle opener. And you don't have to wait 4 hours for it.
you have to wait a few days, so it's even better than that.
Right. There's also shirts and all sorts of things. Those beautiful anatomy of homebrew shirts that everybody loves, that everyone's talking about, that you can't get enough of.
Yeah.
A bunch of those in the store in two different colors.
Wow.
So a lot of things in the store. We have green, like Moscow's wearing, if you're watching the camera right now, justin.tv/brewingnetwork. And also brown. I got brown. You know, green isn't everybody's color.
It's not.
Especially
it's not everybody.
Like on a Sunday morning, for example, after drinking all night. You might not think putting on a green shirt is the best idea.
Right. Someone might think you don't even have a shirt on.
So we got nice shit brown in there instead.
Even better.
So go to the store and do that. All right. You can get all these updates and more over on Twitter and... send show ideas over to Scott the Jew. Scott@thebrewingnetwork.com.
I thought we agreed we were going to drop the Jew for this show.
Do you think Mazin knows that you're a Jew?
Oh, he does now.
He's like, I'm out of here.
We won't do this show.
Fuck that guy.
This is what we say also about Moscow.
Why don't we just drop the Scott part? We'll say,
the Jew. Yeah. Send show ideas over to the Jew, which is scott@thebrewingnetwork.com. Send feedback to feedback@thebrewingnetwork.com.
He probably won't share them with us.
Send love and hugs to jp@thebrewingnetwork.com.
That's right. I need them both.
A little tickle in my throat.
Oh. All right. That's why you look so happy.
Shall we do some feedback?
Yes.
Yes, still please.
Feedback.
That's some excitement.
Wow, oh my God.
You've got mail.
Kick ass.
Sounds like I got boosted on the audio there. Sound good now.
It's weird. Oh. All right, feedback is brought to you today by our brand new sponsor, Danstar.
Yes.
Yeah, you can win a professional brewing course from Danstar Yeast. Go to danstaryeast.com or find them over on Facebook. All right. Oh, yeah, I have a lot of feedback today.
Yes. Well, we were off last week, and people, they really like reaching out, man. It's a good time.
All right, John writes in, hey, guys, I'm headed to San Francisco and Napa. In February.
Napa's.
And I want to fly back with a suitcase full of bottles. What should I pick up that I might not be able to get back here in New England?
Good beer.
Well,
I don't know. Anything. Go to Safeway.
If you were here earlier, you could have had plenty of the younger, but you can't have it.
I drank my thimble full. I would have shared my thimble with you.
I could have put it in a bottle and put a cap on it and send it back to New England.
I could have capped my thimble.
I could have put it on eBay for $5,000.
Yeah. I don't know. I would take Drake's 1500 back with you. That was our beer of the year for 2011.
I would do that. I would go to
Firestone Union Jack,
Trader Joe's, and get some Bitter American, which is in cans, available year round
From the Sully 21st and the 21st Amendment.
That's a good buy.
That's true. I would get Bitter American and Allies Win the War. As a matter of fact,
that's a good beer too. I was thinking that I know the East Coast isn't necessarily known for their IPAs. I mean, they have IPAs, but they're a little more malty, a little less hoppy. I'm saying this. I would probably go around and get IPAs if that's what you're into, because you can't get them like you can out here.
Get a few fresh 1500s and Blind Pigs and that kind of stuff.
Stone,
yeah, for sure.
I'd get. You know what else I'd get? I hope you guys like this idea. I would get Trumer Pils. That is an awesome.
It is a good beer. It is. Yeah.
That's only available on the West Coast.
Fresh local. It might be elsewhere, but it's fresh here. They do the green bottle thing for marketing purposes. So I would get a nice bottle of Trumer fresh here while you're here.
Duct tape the bottle.
I would go to City Beer Store in San Francisco.
That's a good spot.
Even though he doesn't pay me for those plugs, which is shitty. But
let's just say BevMo, then.
I like the store, and I like his beer selection. So I'd go there, and you won't go wrong. Get lots of good stuff. All right. Thanks for writing in, John. Here's another one. Hey, guys. Wow, the Whirlpool conversations were very interesting. Way to give Brew Strong a run for its money. I am a bit confused, though. Are you saying that if we add some hops at 60 minutes, and then we do a 30-minute Whirlpool at the end, that those hops are now giving out the IBUs of a 90-minute edition? Is that a yes?
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Okay, perfect.
Qualified yes. We don't.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
That's the assumption.
I mean, think about it, right? I guess. Boiling and twirling are two different things, right? I mean, the physical, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Right. So there's got to be some. Again, there's no formula. That's why I can't say what it is, because there's no way, no way to calculate. You can only measure it. But it is being measured. Okay. But it's being measured at lower rates than, obviously, in the boil.
Okay.
They're getting something. Yeah. It has to be considered, is what I'm saying.
He says, I usually only rest for about 10 minutes after the boil, but even 10 minutes will make my 60-minute IBUs considerably higher, right?
Well, it's diminishing returns on those hops. I mean, as you get, as you get towards the end of its time, most everything's out of it. It's not like you're getting as many IBUs at the end of 91st minute as you're getting at the first minute.
So if the question is, would that 10 minutes make your IBUs considerably higher? Nah. I think the answer is no.
No. Probably hardly noticeable.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway, so you get the idea.
Yeah.
I was shocked that JP, also he goes on to say, I was shocked that JP didn't get an award for doing such a stellar job of hosting when Justin was absent this year.
Oh, I meant to take that out.
I don't know. I don't like giving JP awards or compliments for that matter.
They go to my head.
Right. Speaking of awards, just listening to the descriptions of the Tasty Awards ceremony really pissed me off. That was unbelievably bad. I can't believe that many people were in the room and no one did or said anything. You should crash it next year. Thanks, and suck it, Justin, for not awarding JP. Mike from the heart of Horse Country. Does anybody know where Horse Country is?
Horse Country?
Wyoming?
Apparently it's Central Florida.
Florida?
I think it means horse flies.
Race horses.
Where the mosquitoes are as big as horses, Central Florida.
All right, here's a couple questions. Hey, guys, insert heartwarming life story here. I have two questions.
Honest. This guy's great. I love it already.
I like it.
Number one, I've got pretty much all the parts I need to build a temperature-controlled... what's a hop-ost?
I don't know.
For drying hops?
I think that's what it is, right?
Hop-ost out of an old chest of drawers.
Yep.
But I'm trying to figure out the CFM, or wind speed, if you prefer, of commercial hop-ost. I've emailed a couple major hop producers and either haven't heard back or been told they have no idea. Probably because it doesn't fucking matter.
It's an old school method. They probably don't even use it anymore.
I somehow doubt any of you would know such a figure off the top of your head. Yeah, it's like 12. I don't fucking know.
12 mph under 70% humidity.
Have you got any suggestions as to how I might find out some sort of rough number other than trial and error? So, anybody?
He's going to have to do trial and error.
Just get a fan, put it on a rheostat and see what works.
Yeah, like, does it matter?
I mean, I think most people use kilns, right, Nate? I mean,
they don't just do like wind. Propane-fired kiln is what the commercial guys do, or at least what I saw at Loftus when I was
there. Sounds dangerous.
You know? Oh, yeah. It's hot as hell. It's like 130 degrees in that room.
I mean, you might try to email Matt Brindleton at Firestone, because he's done a lot of hop research and stuff like that, so he may have stumbled across that in this giant sponge of a melon he has, but I have no idea.
All right. The other question,
someone might, though.
The other question, he says, is about making hash out of hops.
Whoa!
He says, bubble bags are popular for making hash out of the cousin, but why not do the same thing for hops? I know most of the commercial producers of hop extracts use liquid CO2, which is pretty impractical for homebrewers. I've been pondering ways to make an extract at home to make storage of an ever-expanding crop of hops. Anyway, blah, blah, blah.
Do what with the hash? Smoke it?
No, it would be to make a hop extract, because then you could just, you get bitterness that way, or you can get flavor that way.
You don't have your
vegetables. Seems really tough to make. You should just buy hypercritical CO2 extract, which you can get from Hop Union and some of the other guys.
There you go. All right, that was from Jamie. I don't know, Jamie must be stoned, because he's seriously overthinking this whole thing.
Yeah, he's a home brewer, man. That's the kind of the cool part about home brewing.
Just saying hop hash at all makes you think he's probably smoking weed.
Wait, do you think that we could know?
Yeah, the answer is
we make hop Keith? Let's take this one step further.
It's basically all been tried, and if it's not happening, it can't happen.
Do you guys sell hop grinders?
All right, Josh writes in, hey, Jay, I'm just getting around to listening to the Distill Show. Great discussion about Whirlpool hop additions. There was one message Tasty was trying to get across that got lost in the conversation. If you're trying to clone a beer that has an extended Whirlpool at the commercial brewery, but you don't do an extended Whirlpool on your system, then you should throw your hops in at 20 minutes and chill straight away.
Yeah, pretty much message.
This concept has been discussed a lot here in Oz, because a lot of us no chill our wort in cubes, and lately there has been an increase in cube hopping. I and others have found that cube hops tend to be similar to a 20-minute addition. Then to add more aroma, we either do the coffee plunger method or dry hop the shit out of it. Cheers from Josh.
Coffee plunger method.
BD from Texas writes in, hello, I'm new to brewing and heard about adding or pitching a second yeast after the first week brewing to the carboy. Is this recommended? If so, do I siphon to a new carboy and add the yeast or add to the original? Excuse my inexperienced terms. I'm starting a new hobby and just really like beer. Thanks in advance for your help. BD from Texas.
I love his, just the last sentence kind of endeared me to that post.
Yeah, sorry.
I mean, that's just really good. I just really like beer, dude. I don't know what I'm talking about.
Right.
Love it.
I'm not sure why you'd be adding a second yeast to anything. If you've added the proper amount of yeast, and to do that, I would use Mr. Malty's pitch rate calculator over at MrMalty.com. Your beer should finish out fine.
Mm-hmm.
If you're bottling beer, that might be the place that people are, anybody could interrupt me if I start to fuck this up. If you're bottling beer, that might be the place that you could add a second yeast to bottle condition, but even that's not necessary. You just generally add some priming sugar. You can look that up on any of the, go to morebeer.com and there's probably a tutorial on this. And it just puts enough fermentables back into your wort after it's finished fermenting so that it does a secondary fermentation in those bottles and it's carbonated.
The terms are kind of confusing when you're saying things like secondary fermentation, even when you're talking about not pitching into another vessel.
Right.
Because it's not really a secondary ferment. It's just moving one fermentation from one vessel to another. Mm-hmm. It's the same fermentation. So it is definitely a little confusing, but maybe pick up How to Brew by John Palmer.
There you go.
That might clarify.
He had a second question there on should he transfer to a secondary before he does the second yeast. Actually, I would, because what's left in the first one is like cells that have like collapsed and died, right?
Yeah.
Right. I wouldn't do an active ferment with that there. It'd be like autolysis, right? That'd be kind of, it would eat the dead cells. So I would transfer for the second yeast.
I was going to eat my dead baby after the after I got the younger.
You really are a homebrew at heart.
And one quick comment: if he does this, like, you get the yeast active before you pitch the second yeast, because there's already alcohol in solution. It probably won't get anything otherwise.
Yeah, especially if you're using a dry yeast, rehydrate it,
and don't use the dead baby as a yeast.
Don't use
nutrient.
It's my stirrer.
All right, I got to skip through some of this other stuff. We don't have a lot of time. Another one about the IBU thing, the Whirlpool thing, saying we overcomplicated things. Let's see.
That was for his entertainment. I hope he liked it.
I guess I'll read this one. it's in regards to the complaints we get about not doing enough beer information on this program.
Yeah.
Hey, Brewcasters, I'm one of the Silent Army members. You know, one of the members who listens to all the shows, loves them, and always thinks I should participate more, but don't because I'm either too busy or just fucking lazy. But I finally had enough, and I just decided I had to write in. I can't listen to any more of these fucking complaints about how the session doesn't have enough beer information or doesn't ask enough beer questions or blah fucking blah. I'm sure I'm not in the minority here, but as far as the session goes, the reason most of us listen is because we want to be entertained while possibly getting some beer info as a bonus. I think that another backhanded compliment.
Yeah, right.
I think this sums up why most of us are involved in the homebrewing community to begin with. But yet, even with a half a dozen great magazines, 100 books, who knows how many damn forums, websites, and all kinds of multimedia, not to mention 3 shows on the same fucking network that are strictly information-related, you still get people complaining about how you need to include more beer information in the show.
When you say it like that, it sounds ridiculous.
I used to listen to the Sunday show, and then they stopped talking about beer, so I don't listen anymore.
Yeah. These people need to just settle the fuck down and realize that not all the listeners want nonstop brewing information. If you didn't get enough beer info you needed from a show, find it online. Didn't get a question answered? Contact the person yourself. I just have to add, I hope you're not taking this self-absorbed minority to heart. But after listening to the recent show with Fal Allen, I'm a little worried. Fal made comments like, we still do it in the can occasionally, and I'm more concerned about how we're going to reduce the air in our package. And nobody interrupted to throw in a quick joke. I hope this isn't a sign that you're giving in to the 1%, man. He says that's supposed to be said in my homeless hippie voice.
Oh.
Cheers and suck it.
Well, it was.
Nate.
Oh!
Thank you.
Was that Nate's first suck it?
Yeah, I think that was Nate's
Hell
first
yeah.
suck it.
Hell yeah. Woo! Yeah.
You've come of age, my dear.
That's from Jeremy Benarmi, private first class.
That's my favorite email.
The thing is Fal has like a 4-page writer, and one of the stipulations is no dick jokes.
Oh,
so
right.
Our hands were tied.
Yeah, he wouldn't let us make a dick joke.
Yep.
Do I have time for this last one?
Sure.
Hey, I'm in the Coast Guard and currently deployed to St. Paul Island, Alaska, from my permanent duty station in Sitka, Alaska.
Duty.
There you go. Now I hope that guy's
we're back on track. I was lucky to fall into your archive brewcast on iTunes and smart enough to download a bunch before I left. My first listen featured Greg from Stone, and I've been hooked since. You're all extremely entertaining and apparently knowledgeable. I'm grateful for what you do. Keep it up. I've never homebrewed before, but I plan to start in April when I return to Sitka. There are some great friends of mine who are already brew there, and I can't wait to share their experiences. Your show's already got my mind churning with ideas of what not to try. What I want to try and what to look out for. Thought he was listening to me.
Yeah.
I can't wait to get back to civilization where I have... Yeah, yeah. And it goes on, and he's happy about everything. I guess beer's real expensive up there.
Yeah,
he says is. Longhammer IPA is like $50 a case. Brew free or die from the 21st Amendment? Only $10.95.
Right.
Yeah.
Nice.
So, anyway, that's from Brandon. Brandon, be safe out there in the Coast Guard. I don't know what happens, but be safe in Alaska. Alaska's a dangerous place, right?
Yeah.
It's close to Russia.
It's close to Russia.
You can wave to it.
Yeah.
We're still at war with them, right?
Yeah. Perpetually.
I'm going to have to ask Mazin who we're at war with. He probably knows.
Who should we side with?
I'm pretty sure we're still at war with Russia. Pretty sure we still have troops over there.
I think we should.
Since Vietnam.
Yeah.
All right. Do I have to do this, this AHA thing before the break?
Yes, let's talk to him.
Is that what's happening?
Yes.
I think we have Terry Denham on the line, one of our AHA candidates for the governing committee. I told you guys that we'd be talking to each of the, how many candidates?
Seven.
Seven candidates vying for 3 spots, I believe. And we're going to give them a chance to talk about why they want to be on the American Homebrewers Association governing committee. And today we're talking to Terry Denham. How you doing, Terry?
I'm doing well, and yourself?
I'm doing great. Thanks for being with us today, man.
Thanks for asking.
You getting ready for the Super Bowl or what?
Yeah, I guess so. You know, I'm from Pittsburgh, so there's not a whole lot of excitement here.
That makes sense.
Oh, sorry, the Steelers don't win every single year.
Everyone's depressed.
Right. There's a high suicide rate in Pittsburgh this time of year. Are you going to be drinking homebrew during the Super Bowl today? This is an important question, Terry.
I would plan to, yes.
What are you going to drink?
Probably drink some Belgium wit.
Oh, that sounds tasty.
And also some... bourbon barrel stout.
Okay. What kind of brewer are you? You got an all-grain brew system?
All-grain, yeah.
Yeah? How many gallons do you brew at a time?
10 gallon.
There you go. There's no sense in brewing 5 gallons. No. You know, you got to do 10.
Why would you?
Are there extract brewers running for AHA? I would imagine not.
Maybe. Sure.
Really?
Yeah, sure.
I'm sure they've snuck in then somehow.
You don't have to be like a all-grain brewer. I mean, you just have to be a good organizer and a good thinker.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Right.
So, I started with extract.
You did?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I was like most guys. I got that two-bucket kit. My wife, Patty, bought me the two-bucket kit for Christmas, and I said, Patty, this is all I'm ever going to need to brew beer with.
You lied to your wife.
That was a two-tier all-grain system and a 24-gallon conical fermenter later. I don't have everything I need, I don't think.
Yeah, you're not done yet. How long have you been brewing?
About 10 years.
Okay, that's great. So tell us why you'd want to be on the governing committee.
Well, I would like to be able to help with the club side of the AHA. I'd like to be able to help it grow, to help the clubs grow. I also like to be able to find ways for clubs to be more involved in the community, helping with fundraising events, holding brewing events that work towards fundraising.
Yeah, now, this is great to hear, and for two reasons. The first reason is that I think that you're absolutely right. Clubs, we need to get clubs more involved and more active in ways to support them. The second reason is that I'm currently the chair of the club committee, and let's face it, I suck. I'm terrible, and I think Terry will do a better job than me.
Well, I don't know that I would do better. I would like to help. I would like to help you. Let me put it that way.
That's a good way to put it.
It's definitely, and I'm being honest here, it's definitely an area that I think could use some more attention and some help because,
like a wiener.
I mean, clubs are such an enormous part of the American Homebrewers Association that I think it's something it needs, Terry. Good job.
Well, you know, I think the better the clubs are, the more members we're going to have towards the AHA, which is going to make it stronger, that's all.
Right. Now, you know it's a 3-year term if you get elected, right?
Yes, sir.
And you have to sit in a room with me once a year for 3 years, for like 2 hours.
I have to sit in a room with a lot of people that's been drinking home brew for 2 hours, so I'm used to that.
That's true. And actually, someone usually does bring home brew, and we start at like 8 in the morning drinking. That's what the committee's like. I'm going to tell you the secret of the committee. We just drink. We just sit there drinking.
Yeah.
We don't even talk about things.
Flip a coin.
Yeah.
I would have loved it if, Terry, next time someone asks you, it's a 3-year commitment, right? If you just went, oh, shit,
screw this.
I'm out. Yeah. Oh, fuck. Really? 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 No, you're messing with me. Come on. They said 6 months.
Have you been to any of the conferences, Terry?
Yeah. I've been to the one in Cincinnati.
Okay.
I've been to the one in Minnesota a couple years ago.
Nice.
Our club is trying to actually bring it to Pittsburgh in a few years.
Oh, fantastic. I'd like to see it in Pittsburgh.
That would be nice.
Yeah, that'd be a good time. Well, that's something you could push for if you make it onto the committee, too.
Well, that's one thing, yeah.
Sure.
You know, the other thing with clubs, I would like to see some more non-brewing competition between clubs.
More competition?
Well, more competition that don't involve brewing.
Like a three-legged race?
I see.
Well, it's like a beauty contest.
Like the clubs that could raise the most money for a charity.
Well, that's a good idea. I like the way you're thinking.
The clubs that have guys that serve at more events, guys and gals, let me go back.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't want to lose those gal votes.
Yeah, all three of them. You need them.
Don't worry about it.
I didn't say that.
Yeah,
they can't afford MP3 players anyway. They won't know.
Terry didn't say that either.
No,
just want everyone.
No, that was Scott. Don't worry about it.
Terry, what were you saying there? You wanted to find some way to recognize like people for doing service in brewing.
Yeah.
Okay.
I like that.
I always thought there should be like a BJCP kind of thing about that kind of thing. I know lots of people that don't judge, but donate a hell of a lot of time towards the betterment of the beer local home brewers scene. I think there should be some sort of recognition for that.
Like who?
Like Taysom.
Who would you be talking about, Taysom? No,
I know lots of people. I certainly, if I was talking about me, I would have said,
right. I need to be recognized.
No,
no, you would never say that.
I
know. I don't.
Not the way I am. Don't think
that would be the guys without the good palate.
Right.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Yeah. Those guys want to help too. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I like those ideas, Terry.
Yeah.
In fact, as of right now, Terry has my vote.
Huzzah!
For this half hour, I'm endorsing Terry Denham.
Well, that would be three votes. Mine, my wife's, and yours.
And my, that's right. You had Susie's vote until you left out girls, and now she's right. out. Yeah,
and I'm a felon, so I can't vote.
Right. So you're off the zero. You got three.
Yeah, it's a good start, Terry.
Yeah.
Okay, you can go to homebrewersassociation.org, and as soon as they get everybody's profiles put up, you'll be able to read more about Terry and vote for him there. You do have to be a member, of course, of the American Homebrewers Association to vote, but the Govern Committee is it's a nice little committee we have there, and we just basically try to voice your concerns to the AHA to make sure that you're being spoken for, and that's what Terry's running for. So you can go over to homebrewersassociation.org to vote for Terry. Terry, thanks for being on the show, man.
Hey, thanks for asking.
All right, brother.
And if I don't win, I'd still like to be on your committee.
Okay. I think we just invite everybody next
Let's
year.
Let's do it.
Let everybody in there. Good luck, Terry. Good. Thanks, man. Okay.
Thanks, Terry.
Okay.
Thanks a lot. Have a good day, guys.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
There you go. Oh, he meant my club committee.
Yes.
I see.
Yes.
Well, great. He can have my chair. He can have
Done.
My seat.
Done.
I'll be Terry's VP.
You can be honorary president or whatever you do.
Yeah,
you're basically outsourcing your job to Terry.
Oh, yeah. It's taken me 2 years, but I'm right there. Terry, you want to host a popular Sunday program? What do you think?
What's that supposed to mean?
Okay. Well, that was a fun first segment, don't you think?
That was pretty good.
All right. Hey, by the way, Winterfest went off without a hitch.
Oh, it was awesome.
We sold out of everything like twice. And we resold. I went around collecting people's glasses and sold them again. That's how successful it was. Thank you to everybody for coming out there. JP, you did a great job on the food and vendor organization there.
Oh, thank you.
And I did a great job on everything else.
Yes.
I did a great job. I had a great drinking day. I did a great job drinking.
You did. Oh, and you made a video, which, by the way,
that's right.
JP was hilarious in that video. It's on our YouTube page. You can go to youtube.com/brewingnetwork, or is it on your blog?
It's the blog, check the BN Army blog. You see some pictures in the video.
And it's a good video. And JP's funny. You can get as if you need more insight into his life, you can there. And it was just, I want to thank the bands Forrest Day and Big Joe Hurt and Purple Haze.
Oh, man.
That guy is unbelievable.
So, you know, I talked him up on the show, right? You guys had to hear me blab about this guy for a couple weeks. People come up to me the whole time like, all they were saying was, dude, you weren't kidding. You were not, for the first time, you weren't lying to us. This guy blew everybody away.
Even I did that. And you and I, you know, outside of the show, we really don't interact. We don't like to talk to each other.
Right.
And and I actually broke that rule and went up to you and was like, look, I know this is weird, but this guy's rad. And you're like, just whatever. And we went our separate ways. But right.
He was amazing. I was talking to Chris Graham, who is a friend of mine, but also a sponsor. And Graham's yapping away to me like he does.
Yeah.
And the guy starts playing the Star Spangled Banner.
with his teeth.
And I turned to our chief sponsor and was like, Chris, I'm sorry, you have to shut up now. This guy is doing the Star Spangled Banner just like Jimmy right now.
Right.
And Chris understood.
Yeah.
He dropped his sponsorship, but he understood.
Yeah. But Olin gave it back to us.
Then I found Olin drunk and he gave it back.
Just signed something. All right.
Right. All right, we got to take a quick break. You can announce Twitter game right when we come back.
Do it.
Here's Forrest Day, who headlined the fest and just blew everybody away.
Yeah.
I just got fired trying to work for assholes. It lasted a little bit longer. longer I would have quit. But it's 3 weeks till Christmas and I wanna buy my girlfriend a gift. Oh well, oh well, it's from the banner, I can tell, I can tell, I can tell. I guess I don't respond well to middle management. Most of them are spineless little bastards with the grudge against anyone like me who won't put up with an attitude. Monkey's pinching pennies telling me what to do. I'm tired of working for assholes, I'm tired of working for assholes, I'm tired of working for assholes. I'm tired of working for assholes, I'm tired of working for assholes, I'm tired of working for assholes. I could understand a little better if you're up in Trump Tower, but you're turning into monsters for $10 an hour. You're cowards. Like monkeys with whips, I make a buck less than you when you want me to do backflips. Nah, you're mistaken, gotta bring home the bacon, but it's not worth the shit that I'm taking. The smiles you're faking, I'm sure I have my price, but it's more than 9.75. Oh, got tired, every day was the same. All up until I got fired. Oh, oh, got tired, every day was the same. All up until I got fired. No more of the same, no more of the same thing. No more of the same, the same thing. Could save up some money, but I'm way too impatient. I know that a week in the ways within my reach. Cause Yankee's got a buddy who can put me in a room on the beach. No fee, no fee, just food and gasoline, gasoline, gasoline. Just gotta hop a couple hurdles that could make it hard. A small check, insurance, register my car. I know I'll just put it on a credit card. Get a job, make minimum payments, still but you were a star. I'm tired of working for assholes, I'm tired of working for assholes, I'm tired of working for assholes. I'm tired of working for assholes, I'm tired of working for assholes, I'm tired of working for assholes. Freedom at last, I got a pack of cigarettes, a 12 pack of pens, and I'm set with the materials I need to forget. I told my girlfriend the news and she isn't even upset. She's the best, bless your little soul. When she gets home, dinner's ready and I'll pack her a bowl. I'll pack my lady a bow. Oh, oh, got tired. Every day was the same. All up until I got fired. Oh, oh, got tired. Every day was the same. All up until I got fired. No more of the same. No more of the same thing. The same, no more of the same thing.
Since the first time the Brewing Network microphones turned on, More Beer was behind it. More Beer sponsors the programming on the BN because, like you, they love brewing. And like the Brewing Network, they love sharing their knowledge. MoreBeer.com isn't just a website to place your next equipment or ingredient order. MoreBeer.com also gives you access to free beer information that will make you a better brewer. Go to MoreBeer.com and click into the Learning Center. You'll find podcasts, technical facts, video tutorials, and more, including access to The Buzz, More Beer's social network of more than 5,000 members. And some of them might even be crazier about beer than you are. Get over to morebeer.com today and take advantage of the buzz, the forum, the learning center, and make sure you're signed up to receive the newest More Beer catalog. More Beer, bringing you absolutely everything for beer making.
Hi, I'm Jamel Zanishev, and in addition to my work on the Brewing Network, I write the style profile column in every issue of Brew Your Own magazine.
Hi, I'm Sean Paxton, and when I'm not prepping for the Homebrewed Chef on the Brewing Network, you can find me writing articles on how to cook with your homebrew for Brew Your Own magazine.
Greetings, cretins. This is John Palmer, and when I'm not writing for Brew Your Own, I'm reading it.
John Palmer, Sean Paxton, Jamil Zainashev. If you love listening to them on the Brewing Network, you'll love reading their articles, tips, and recipes in the pages of Brew Your Own magazine. Join Jamil, John, and Sean 8 times a year in Brew Your Own. And when you subscribe to BYO on the Brewing Network website, half of your subscription price goes right back to the BN to support great beer and food programming. So sign up for Brew Your Own magazine through the BN website today so you can listen and read your way to better homebrew.
Nico, listen, our lawyers said that we had to do this for 1 hour, and after this, we don't have to talk to each other for 3 more months until the next meeting.
Kids, come on, let's get out of here.
I'm supposed to have more lines. I'm the professional. Hey, it's Sully.
And I'm Nico.
And we opened the 21st Amendment 9 years ago at 563 2nd Street in San Francisco, just 2 blocks from Giants Park, to make great beer and have a great time doing it.
That's right, because to us, the 21st Amendment is more than just the right to make beer. It's the right to experiment, to be innovative, and just do things differently. And so now, we're putting our craft beer in cans.
That's right, cans. You can find our world-famous Heller High Watermelon Wheat Beer and Brew Free or Die IPA throughout California and Alaska.
And now it's also available on draft at select accounts in the Bay Area.
So next time you're at your local neighborhood pub or good beer store, be sure to ask for 21st Amendment in cans.
Because everyone likes it in a can.
Tasty Crack Cans.
Tasty Crack Cans.
Williams Brewing is your online resource for prompt delivery of quality home brewing supplies. Since 1979, Williams Brewing has offered the finest equipment and freshest ingredients, and the best customer service in the business. Cut hours off your brewing sessions by using one of their 11 varieties of famous Williams malt extract. Their new SnapLock stainless steel camlock fittings will make connecting your pump or heat exchanger quick and easy. Or check out their exclusive paintball tank-based draft beer equipment. They even have their own line of precision hydrometers. Go to williamsbrewing.com to browse their vast selection. That's williamsbrewing.com. Orders placed by 4 p.m. Pacific Time weekdays ship the same day. Brewing is easy. The Williams way.
This is www.thebrewingnetwork.com.
Sit down next to it, grab yourself a paper towel, and watch those yeast have sex.
You're listening to the Brewing Network.
The Session.
Brewing up our next batch of radio gold.
Right now.
Yeah, baby. Welcome back to the program. Thanks for sticking with us. A lot to get to today on our Super Bowl show. Big day in sports. The Celtics versus the Padres. And it's going to be awesome. It's going to be a good day.
It's going to be a pitcher's duel, I'm pretty sure. Defensive teams, you know.
It's very important to me, this day, this game, this match.
Well, it's more of a lifestyle, really, than anything.
What is it called? Tourney?
Tourney.
It's a tourney.
Yeah.
The super tourney.
It is like a tourney tourniquet being applied to your face.
Bracket.
I'm sure that it's very important to our next guest, the Super Bowl, Mazen Hajar from, he's the founder and CEO of 961 Beer. Mazen, the World Football Championships are very important to you over there, I'm sure of it.
Absolutely. They're a big night for us, not during the day.
Right. That's true. Yeah. What is it, middle of the night over there?
It's close to 11 p.m. By the time the game gets on, it's probably going to finish somewhere around 4 or 5 in the morning.
Gotcha. Wow. And the Lebanese will be partying in the streets, I'm sure of it.
No, actually, you'd be surprised how many pubs have our beer on tap for Super Bowl.
Oh, is that right?
Are they rooting for the Patriots?
I have no idea who the hell they're rooting for.
As long as they're drinking your beer, right?
Yeah.
As long as they're drinking the beer, that's fine.
You know, that reminds me about our Twitter game.
Oh, do it real quick, yes. JP. Go ahead.
So I was thinking about the Super Bowl and what beer everyone usually drinks. And so I want the Twitterverse to name me 3 positives about Bud Miller or Coors.
3 positives?
3 positive things about the big 3, basically fizzy yellow beer.
Okay.
And don't be like, oh, it's good to pour out the drain. No. Be positive. Really try to be positive about it. Name me three positives about Bud Miller or Coors.
All right. There's your Twitter game of the week, and JP will send the winner a prize. We'll do it at the end of the show.
Eventually.
So Mazen is from 961 Beer, which is in Lebanon. And help me out here, Mazen. Help me pronounce the city name.
It's actually Mazraat Yeshua is not the city, Justin. It's a little industrial zone in Beirut, on the suburb of Beirut.
Beirut. Okay, so Beirut would be the city, and Mazraat Yeshua is the district, basically.
Exactly.
Got it. Okay. And how long you guys been there?
We started off in July 2006, in the middle of the siege, the whole war with Israel, Hezbollah war with Israel.
Okay.
I started brewing when the bombs were falling.
So let me get this straight. There are bombs. There's a war going on. There are bombs going off. And Mason, you're sitting there and you go, hey, I should start a brewery. That's how it went?
No, actually what happened was I've been in love with food forever. And I met my first partner, Henrik Hagen, who's from Denmark. He was on a tourism trip to Beirut. And we were having dinner one day casually. And he said, okay, you keep complaining about your corporate lifestyle. What do you want to do? And I said, I want to brew beer. That was the end of the conversation.
Okay.
2 weeks later, I get a phone call from Copenhagen saying, wow, I loved Beirut. I'm like, thanks, that was cool. And he goes, screw you. I'm like, what? I haven't slept for 2 weeks thinking about this beer idea. Do you really want to do it? And at that point, I had absolutely no clue how to make beer at all.
Okay.
Zilch, zero, nothing.
You had this idea, but you hadn't looked into it at all.
Totally.
Okay.
And I mean, you know, we're positioned in an area. I know this whole debate of how many brewers are in the Middle East. in the Arab part of the Middle East, there are no breweries outside of Heineken or government-controlled breweries. And they're all pushing out the same, you know, the positive stuff that you wanted on your Twitter about 5 minutes ago.
Yeah.
It's literally as bad as it gets. I mean, the brewery out of Syria, they literally put on the label that they're not responsible for bad storage.
Wow. Yeah.
It's catastrophic.
Oh,
so
man.
I got fed up of drinking this crap. And I was living in the UK, and I was drinking bitters and stouts and porters and all those kinds of beers without realizing what I was drinking. I mean, I was much younger. I was just drinking to get drunk, but it tasted good.
Yeah.
And when I got back home, it tasted like crap. And so that's how the whole idea started off.
Okay. And what were you doing? You said your corporate lifestyle. What were you doing before the brewery?
Well, I quit investment. I was 9 years in investment banking. I was the chief financial advisor for one of the big banks in Lebanon.
Okay.
And then I started two airlines.
Really?
Yeah.
Just like that.
I started the first low-fare airline in the Middle East. And then the government felt threatened that the national airline would get its ass kicked. So they started not giving us schedules and landing slots. And then I started another government's airline, and then I quit and started making beer.
Wow. See, now I'm intimidated. I can't even remember to take out the garbage on Thursdays, and Mazen has started two national airlines.
Well, because the garbage comes on Tuesday.
I see.
Yeah. Exactly.
Exactly.
It's amazing. I should have known that.
Yeah, it's pretty good. I mean, we think we're doing really well on a podcast. And he's like, dude, I started not one but two airlines.
Until I threatened the government,
yeah.
and I got out of it.
Which sounds incredibly easy to do, right?
I do see here on your Skype avatar, you're in a suit. You do look like an investment banker on Skype.
Yeah, that actually, you know what? Everyone makes fun of this, and I keep forgetting to take it off.
Oh, I'd leave it. No, you got to leave that. I think it's important.
I look like a constipated moron.
You know, it's funny you say that because you do look like, I don't know if you've seen the movie, but he looks like the guy from Ocean's 11, the guy who owns the casino, the guy who gets robbed.
Yes.
That's what he looks, that's who he looks
Richard
like.
Richard Greco?
Yeah. Yeah, that guy. Wasn't he on 21 Jump Street?
I look like a constipated actor.
Yeah, that's what you look like. Exactly.
Investment banker.
Mason, I think you should put that photo on one of your beer bottles, as a matter of fact, and call it, like, you know, fuck the corporations or something. I don't know.
Call it corporate lifestyle beer.
We're having a, you know, it's funny because when I was in corporate life, everything was senseless and it was just pressing on with these things. I wake up now super happy, super excited in the morning, wondering what the hell we're going to brew next. What's the next crazy thing we're going to do?
Right.
It's a completely different lifestyle. coming from that constipated person to brewing beer is like the greatest thing on earth.
Right. That was, you were born again.
Yeah.
On that day. Yep. So talk to me about this then. You have this idea. You don't look into what it takes to make beer. You open a company. You know nothing about it. How do you build a brewery and make beer knowing nothing about it?
And living in an area where no one knows anything about it.
Right. You can't. It's not like you can go to your friend's brewery and ask him.
If you're in the States, you have tons of resources. You have a homebrew shop. You have all this stuff. You have breweries around you, people you can talk to. In our part of the world, there's the Heineken brewery. And the guy who fills the kegs doesn't know how to connect a draft system. That's how specialized they are in their little departments.
Wow. I see, yeah.
So there's absolutely no technical background there anywhere. Well, what I did was we basically bought every single book on Amazon.
Okay, yeah.
And I read cover to cover everything I could get my hands on. Which still doesn't help because, you know, you read something like Sparging and Lautering, and unless someone actually shows you what the hell it is,
yeah,
you're like, whatever.
Yeah, you just think it's some stupid German word.
I agree. That's definitely true, even in homebrewing, where you do need people around you. You can't be in a bubble on your own and figure everything out. It's
I still
impossible.
Don't know what Lautering is, and I've been doing this for 7 years.
It's a thing. I'll show you later.
What Lautering is? Never heard of that.
Yeah. Exactly.
The first time we made beer, I'll tell you how we first made beer. So after this conversation with Henrik, we decided, okay, I'll put half the money in, he'll put half the money in, and we'll get some sort of a bank loan and raise the rest of the money. And all of a sudden, this idea was coming to fruition. And about 3 days before the war started with Israel, I got a book from Amazon called Beer School, which is the autobiography of Steve Hindy.
Okay.
From Brooklyn Brewery.
Yep.
And, you know, 3 days after that, the war broke out. I was sitting on my balcony thinking, shit, Henrik's going to want to withdraw and leave. And, okay, I'll keep doing this. Should I do this? Should I not do this? And I get a phone call from Henrik 6 days or 7 days into the war, and the bombs are falling outside. And he says, so did you register the company? I'm like, no, don't worry. I'll ship your money back. Don't worry about it. He goes, why didn't you do it? I'm like, there's a fucking war going on.
Hello? Yeah.
He goes, listen, do it. Don't be stupid. Do it now. I'm like, what? Why? He goes, we have a great story. We registered under siege.
Right.
And I'm like, okay. So I get really excited. I'm sitting on my balcony. The electricity is out because they bombed the electricity.
Hang on. Does anybody else think that it's weird that Mason's sitting on his balcony while bombs are going
overhead?
Yeah,
go inside, would you? Yeah. You want to watch the show, you know?
Totally different area that was being... See, that's the cool thing about being Lebanese. You can figure out exactly where the danger zones are.
I see.
I gotta think it's like you get... I don't want to say you get used to it because it sounds like, you know, just, oh, forget about it. There's just bombs going off. But I'm pretty sure at some point you stop being really, really scared.
Yeah.
You know, and then you go, oh, well, whatever. It's going to hit you, it's going to hit you. I'm going to go along with my business and we'll see what happens, I guess.
It's not exactly like that. I mean, the war in Lebanon ended in 1991, and it's been a great city to live in, a great country to live in since then, except for that little stint in 2006.
Okay.
But after the civil war in Lebanon, which I grew up in, I went to Bosnia as a journalist to cover the war in Sarajevo. So you kind of get a sense of where's a good place to stick your head out and where is it a good place to basically hide under the covers.
I see.
Wait, so you were an investment banker.
Journalist also, yeah.
Investment banker, owned two airlines, and a journalist, and you own a brewery, and you're what, like 10 years old? How old are you?
I'm 38.
38. Jesus.
I've served ice cream. Coffee.
You were a barista.
Yeah, I've served ice cream, coffee, and beer. That's what I've done in my lifetime.
I can't figure this shit out.
Neither can I, man.
Yeah, yeah. Now, I could see what you mean. You're around it enough that you start to realize the signs of danger, so you know when it's okay to sunbathe on your balcony.
Exactly, and open a book. And then when you open that book, the first sentence of the first paragraph of the first page says something along the lines of, I woke up to the sounds of bombs exploding outside my Hotel Alexandre. And I was like, what the fuck?
Wow, yeah.
And it turns out Steve Hindy, who's third generation Lebanese at that time, I didn't know, was the Associated Press journalist during covering the civil war in Lebanon.
Wow. Amazing.
And actually on one of his trips out of Beirut to Saudi Arabia, where he got to see home brewing. He wondered, why the hell do we have Bud, Coors, and Miller in the U.S.? And came back and inspired him to start Brooklyn Brewery.
Amazing.
So did you look at that as a sign, that sentence?
Like, I absolutely looked at that as a sign. I called everybody up. I said, come on, we're going to brew. And Henrik had been flying in and out of Beirut, basically carrying stuff in his handbags, like barley and hops. We don't have any of the stuff here, malted barley and hops. And eventually I had enough kits, so we started brewing that day, and it turned out to be miserable after 2 weeks because I boiled everything together. I didn't understand sparging, lautering.
You literally boiled all the ingredients together.
I basically did that. I mean, I did the steps, the infusions, but without understanding the lautering, sparging, and that I should cool before the yeast. It was all experimental. And then finally, we got the whole thing right. And we started making beer and more beer and better beer. And we were researching every Sunday. We'd have people come over and drink. And then the group started growing on its own.
Okay.
And one day, like on a Wednesday at 10 p.m., I got a knock on the door and two dudes were standing at the door going, hey, are you Mazen? Yeah. You make good beer. Oh, thank you. Can we buy some? And I felt like this drug pusher behind the door.
Right. You're the new gig in town.
Just don't tell anyone.
Yeah, here's a six pack. Now go away.
Exactly. And so at some point, it all got serious, and we decided, all right, next step, order a brewery. None of us had ever been in a brewery ever. So we shopped around, and luckily we landed on DME in Canada, who gave us a lot of technical support and advice. And we bought a 10-barrel, 2-vessel brew house with 4 20-barrel fermenters.
Yeah. Wow.
DME, those are cool dudes up there.
Yeah. Excuse me, I'm feeling a bit under the weather, so if I cough, don't freak out.
No worries. You're far away.
Yeah, I don't want to get a computer virus.
Oh, yeah. So we kind of got this whole thing going. We ordered this equipment, and then at that point, it clicked to me. I said, okay, this is not a joke anymore. I flew over to Canada and actually got certified as a brewmaster, did a lot of coursework.
Okay. All right. So you
picked up the equipment and flew back to Beirut. Well, I flew back to Beirut and got the equipment into the brewery. It was 4 containers full of like 3,000 different pieces.
Yeah.
And my partner looked at me, who used to head an orange juice production factory, and he looked at me and he said, okay, where are the engineering maps?
They're in
and
my
I
head.
I looked at him and I said, I can't see them. So we called DME up and I said, hey, where are the engineering maps? And the guy on the other line, who's our account manager, said, do you think this is a Lego set?
Right.
It's what you needed. Is that what they sent?
Yeah.
You needed a Lego set. Yes.
Here's your engineering map. Good luck.
We can send someone down, but dude, have you never been in a brewery? I'm like, no. He goes, what are you, an idiot?
Yes.
Like, pretty much.
Yeah. Wow. So did you get somebody out?
Started up. We started brewing. In September 07, we opened our brew pub. Our pub. It wasn't a brew pub because, again, the government in Lebanon doesn't really understand what the hell brewing is. So we're 2 zonings less in industrial categories, less than a nuclear reactor. So we're considered right up there with petrochemical industries.
Wow.
So we had to put the brewery out of town, open a brew pub, figure out how the hell to do it. And then we started bottling in March 08. We were doing about 200,000 bottles a year.
Did you have a bottling line for that?
Yeah, we actually bought a bottling line.
Okay. All right. That's a lot of bottles of beer.
Sorry?
That's a lot of bottles of beer in the first year.
Yeah.
Good Lord.
We weren't selling. I mean, we got that capacity. Like the first month out of the gate, we sold 50 cases.
Okay.
And I was like, oh, shit. Whoops. Second month, we sold 27 cases. I was like, oh my God, we're dead. Third month, 20 cases. And then all of a sudden, I don't know what the hell happened. And demand started picking up. And soon enough, we couldn't supply the bar. So by March 08, we had to close down the bar.
Huh.
Or sorry, March 09, we had to close down the bar a year and a half later.
Okay.
Because literally, we sold the last pint that we had kegged.
And is this just word of mouth growth, or are you advertising? How are people finding it?
Zero ads.
Okay, yeah.
So by 09, we were operating at capacity and getting all this international interest. I mean, you know, we got covered on CNN, BBC, whatever.
At Brewing Network.
Yeah.
Brewing Network, definitely. Twice already.
Yeah. Right.
And we were getting all this demand, but we just couldn't grow. I mean, physically, our brewery didn't have a toilet. We had to go to the toilet at our neighbors.
Huh.
So it was impossible to grow. So we closed down the brewery in December 2009 and took a completely a complete building for ourselves and built a new 3-vessel, 35-barrel brew house with 120 barrel fermenters, quite a few of them now. And we upgraded our bottling line from 800 bottles an hour to 28,000 bottles an hour now.
Wow.
So now we're doing 12 million bottles a year.
Holy shit.
Wow. And we're going to be in the States quite soon.
Oh, that was a question from the chat room already. They want to know if we can get your beer.
So. Yeah, we've already signed with Illinois, Massachusetts, Michigan, and New York. We're looking at New Jersey, Texas. But I don't want to spread my wings too far. I want to service the markets that we're in quite well.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to offer, make sure that my beer is available all the time.
Okay.
I think a lot of people don't make the mistake of trying to go too far, too quickly.
Yeah.
Under the pressure of they have access capacity. And then when growth overtakes them, they have to pull back from markets. I try to build things slowly.
Yeah, and be able to stay there. That's a good idea.
Yeah.
Now, exactly. I have kind of an odd question for you, and I'm not even sure how to phrase it, but you know, you started this brewery because you tasted great beer, and you didn't like the beer back home, so you wanted to provide good beer, but you didn't really know how to brew. So I guess my question is, you know, how long did it take you to brew the quality of beer that you wanted? I mean, have you always been producing really the highest quality that you wanted, or was there quite a progression there to figure it out?
We produced enough crap when we started.
Okay.
It was pretty hit and miss.
Okay.
Our first brew house was not jacketed, so we couldn't control the temperatures. Oh. It was a straight mash in one step. We didn't pasteurize. Now, I know... I look at the American craft beer scene, and I am in awe sometimes at some of the stuff craft brewers in the U.S. can get away with.
Uh-huh.
I think it's one of the most vibrant and the best scenes on earth. I'm completely inspired by what the guys are doing. But, you know, there's 1,800 breweries now, and not all of them are doing amazing things.
Right.
Some of them are getting away with murder and hiding behind concepts like... For example, pasteurization, I mean, is one of the things that is most on the top of my list of things that we have a misconception in the craft beer industry about.
How do you mean? Explain that.
Well, pasteurization is a very expensive process. I mean, you need to really spend a lot of money to get the equipment in. And it does change the flavor of the beer.
Yeah.
If you do not manage your process properly. If you manage your dissolved oxygen and you manage the whole process down the line properly, it shouldn't affect the taste of your beer. Of course, it will force the beer to age much quicker. But in the end, if you want to send beer and be sure that your consumers will all have the same experience, you've got to pasteurize.
I see.
One of the biggest issues I hear from my friends in the craft beer industry is, my distributor messed up, didn't cool this stock, and it went to I don't know who and tasted like crap.
Yeah.
Well, that's one thing. In the end, as brewers, we have to provide a consistent and good experience to the drinkers out there.
Right.
And if you go to a bar and you have a great experience and you go and try this same beer, same batch in another bar and tastes like crap, then as brewers, we're doing something wrong.
Okay.
If we had to guess, what percentage of U.S. craft breweries are pasteurizing?
There's quite a few. You would be surprised.
Yeah, there's a lot.
We'd probably be surprised, but given the amount of breweries like that you mentioned, it's really not that many, you know, percentage.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. But, I mean, most of the successful ones do pasteurize.
Okay.
Yeah, I think the ones who have a large distribution area are the ones.
Of course. You cannot. You simply, the minute the beer leaves your brewery, you just cannot... control, unless you're doing bottle conditioning, you just can't control the chain.
Yeah, okay. I see what you mean.
It becomes really, you know, and it is a super expensive process. And it is very complicated because it takes a lot of quality control, which a lot of people will try to avoid.
Okay. Now, let me ask you this. But in the beginning, you know, you kind of said we definitely put out a lot of crap beer. But people were buying it. Is that because it was still new and there was nothing to reference it against? Like, for example, there wasn't a really good craft beer down the street that they could say, well, 961 sucks. I'm going to the other one. So is that why you were still able to sell beer even though it wasn't up to par?
No, that wasn't it. What we were producing four regulars. We were producing a lager, a wheat beer, a red ale, and an imperial stout with coffee added to it. And people would drink the red ale, and most of the time it was great, but occasionally we'd get a bad batch, and then we'd have to recall it and things like that. So it's not that we were making crap beer and the market didn't really get it. We were making good beer, but sometimes some of our batches were not up to par.
I understand. Okay. All right.
I mean, we weren't consistent in the quality, but, you know, recently I was sitting in the brewery, in the old brewery, brewing some beer, and I get this crazy guy walking into the brewery completely at random, and he says, "You're Mazin, you make 961. I'm like, "Yeah." He goes, "I love you." I'm like, "Weirdo."
Right.
Sounds like us.
I'm like, "What do you do?" He goes, "I make Chimay." I'm like, "I love you."
Right. Wow.
And turns out he's a Lebanese guy who was studying in Belgium and worked for Chimay as a brewmaster. And he said something very, 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 very fundamental to me. He said he had taken the Heineken subsidiary's beer to Chimay to the tasting panel with all the monks. And they laughed him off the table. And then he took our beer and they loved it. And so he felt really proud. And 2 weeks later, I made the guy an offer, and he now works for us full-time.
Oh, that's fantastic. Oh, that's a good story.
Yeah, I mean, he moved down from Belgium down to Beirut to work for us now.
Right. Same place, basically.
Yeah, that's amazing. Very nice.
I mean, the question is, the question of whether we got the quality right every time, we didn't, but we learned. And it took us 5 years, and we're still learning. I mean, we're just about to release a new beer called the... We've got a new label called the Brewmaster Select.
Uh-huh.
And the idea behind this label is that it's a celebration of Lebanese flavor. So as I was doing more and more research into beer, I actually discovered that we were the people that bloody invented beer.
Yeah.
So it's kind of a homecoming of beer back to Lebanon.
Yeah, I like that.
Beer found 9,000 BC in this region, in this part of the world.
Yep.
And the first letters, the first goddess Ninkasi, the first written form was here.
Okay.
So we released this new label. We did this project called Brewmaster Select, which celebrates kind of that Lebanese flavor in beer. And the way we do it is by doing a lot of innovative stuff. So our first batch, 01, is our Lebanese Pale Ale. And that's a beer collaboratively brewed with Anders Kissmeyer.
Yeah, I know Anders.
Judge on the World Beer Cup,
yeah.
Ex Salzburg, then ex Nürburgring House. Won more awards than I can ever remember.
And he's kind of a consultant now, in general.
Yeah,
I think
exactly.
Yeah.
So what we did was we did an IPA, but more of a mellow English IPA with six local Lebanese herbs, very local, very specific to the country. And it turned out fantastic. Our next, we're working to do another collaborative brew with an American brewer this time. And we're doing our third batch is going to be a collaborative brew with a Lebanese winery.
Okay. So, can I go back to the first? What are the six? I probably won't know what they are anyway, but maybe some of our listeners do. What are the six herbs that you put in that beer?
We used wild thyme, which in Lebanon is called za'atar.
Okay.
It's a very unique species of thyme. Sumac, which is the sour red herb. We used the anise.
Mm. Yeah.
Chamomile.
Okay.
Chamomile. Sorry, I'm intertwining here between French and English.
That's all right.
Sage and wild mint.
Hmm. That is a lot of strong... sensory spices or herbs to put into one beer.
It sounds like it'd be really challenging to layer them. I mean, because you want each individual spice to come through, I imagine. So that would take a delicate hand.
What we did wasn't just put them into the boil. I mean, we put some into the end of the boil, but we selected a few and made a tea out of them and added them very late in the fermenter just to get less of the aroma, more of the flavor into the beer.
Yeah.
I kind of want to try it.
Oh, well, so do I. And yeah. The nice thing about that, when you're doing the tea and adding it later, is that you could really... you don't run the risk of overdoing it because you just put a little in, you taste it, you put a little more. Whereas if you do it in the boil and then you you're kind of fucked. Like whatever you come out with is what you get.
Yeah, you can't take it out at that point.
So
exactly, but you get more of the aromatics in the boil because when you make a tea, you're going to get less of the aromatics, more of the intensity of the flavor.
I see. Okay,
which would kind of be good in a pail. I think, you know, it's like it's matching with a malt,
right.
I mean, kind of imagine an IPA that leaves a lingering taste of thyme and mint in your mouth.
I see. That sounds... Yeah. Not only does it sound good, but this is truly like a food pairing beer me also.
Oh, yeah. Exactly. With a nice little lamb or something like that?
Yeah.
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 Well, Mazen, what would be the other... This IPA that you're going to put this in, what's it made of? What are the hops in that beer, for instance?
We used Pearly for bittering. Simcoe, Cascade, and Citra.
Well, you got Simcoe?
Huh?
You have Simcoe?
Simcoe's hard to find out here.
Yeah, we're just surprised you found Simcoe.
I actually have Simcoe and Amarillo for next year.
Nice, wow. Attaboy. Good job.
And I'm not selling any of it. It's fine.
Right.
So it's a nice hoppy beer, and then you're going to add the spices to it. I get it.
Oh, absolutely. And we actually add more Citra and Simcoe in the dry hops.
I want to taste this beer.
I totally want to taste this beer.
Yeah, I think
it'll be there quite soon, and I will definitely send some down your way.
Oh, I was thinking I'd just come vacation in Lebanon this year.
You know what? Hell yes, that would be a great idea, and we would be very happy to have you over.
That'd be great. I'll probably start a war. I'm not very polite.
I might go with you. We have to go to Greece, though.
In case you haven't noticed, I'm about as diplomatic as a truck.
that's how we like it.
Yeah.
I do have, but I want to talk to you more about the beer. I did have a listener question come through, though, that I wanted to go back to quickly. Okay. You know, I don't know much about the Middle East. I'll be honest with you. But this question coming from one of our listeners in the chat room says, how do you go about selling beer in an Islamic country, thinking that that alcohol might be outlawed in certain areas by Islamic law?
Right, but you have to remember, Lebanon is half Christian, half Muslim.
I see. But you're not, are you just selling beer in Lebanon?
No. I mean, look, there's a big misconception about the Middle East that it's this big Islamic mess.
Okay.
Which is like saying the U.S. is a bunch of cowboys sitting on a horse lassoing cattle.
Well, actually, it's at least partly true.
I was just doing that on my way over here.
Yeah. Yeah. Actually, I just took off my towel.
Yeah. Yeah. He just got out of his flight training and took off his towel.
Yeah. I just came
just
out of
my camel here.
No, yeah. I mean, my wife had to rub my lamp so I can come out of it and talk to you guys.
Right.
Stereotypes are funny.
Hang on. What do you mean my wife was rubbing my
lamp? Oh, I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Don't insult our guest.
Just making
JP.
A joke. I'm sorry.
It's okay. I'm very happy when my wife rubs my lap.
There we go.
Right.
See?
Yeah.
He's obviously listened before.
No, I mean, seriously, the Middle East is a really. I mean, it's 250 million people just in the Arab world.
Yeah, we don't know much about it, to be honest with you.
It's 22 different countries, and I don't know much about it. I mean, it's that diverse.
It sounds like with such a rich heritage and a rich history. I mean, you talk about the beginning of man, basically.
Totally.
It would be hard to know everything, right?
So, I mean, if you look at the Arab Gulf, yes, there are some Islamic states like Saudi Arabia and Yemen and Kuwait, which don't allow alcohol. But then you have the Emirates and Qatar, which do. Syria, Lebanon, Jordan, they actually produce alcohol. We have a long heritage of alcohol. There's quite a significant Christian presence in the region. Lebanon has always been about coexistence between religions, which is why that stint of the civil war was such a catastrophe for us.
I see.
But now we're back. I mean, the country is literally swarming with... We have 18 different religions here.
Wow.
Is Jedi one of them?
Yeah. Absolutely. You're talking to the Jedi master of the
Yeah, there we go.
Right.
I know in the UK, there's a huge Jedi population.
I like that with I like that Christians are the drunks of the world. Like where you know, wherever there are Christians, alcohol is legal.
Absolutely not. You know that the only craft brewer in the Middle East is me, and I was born a Muslim.
Okay.
I'm pretty much an atheist now, but I was born a Muslim.
I see. He says pretty much an atheist. You know what that means? That means if he's about to die, he starts praying to God.
Yeah. Oh, I would too.
So would
For
I.
Sure.
You never know. Maybe he exists.
Right.
Yeah. You can't blame Allah for you want to hedge your bets just right. in case.
Just in
exactly.
case.
Just say, everybody, look. I don't know. You've made it really hard. Just accept me wherever I go.
That's the reputation that wherever there are Christians, it's liberal. But I mean, in Lebanon, I'm the wacky Muslim who's making beer.
I love it. I really like it, man. I would love to see you in action out there.
What?
And the community grow around it, right? That's just cool.
It is growing. But you know what? It's been a very, very hard trip. When you talk about the local brewer here has had a monopoly for 85 years. So when you tell people... Well, the biggest problem we have is when we put our beer on the supermarket shelves, people walk in, and if they don't know our beer, they assume they're going to get a beer like a Heineken.
Oh, yeah.
And if you don't kind of tell them this is a multi-hoppy blah, blah, blah beer, they're going to taste it and go, ah, it's off. No, thanks. Don't
right.
like it. Give
yeah.
me a Heineken.
Yeah, the education. And we had to go through that here, too. But I could really see what you mean. The education has to come first. Or people, yeah, they'll tell you, oh, you screwed that beer up.
You know? Exactly. Exactly. They go, oh, it's terrible. Are you sure you wanted the sediment in the bottom of the bottle? Isn't it off?
Right. Yeah. All right, I got to do this. I want to talk more about this and how you go about the education. But I just got to take a quick break and take care of some sponsors.
Sure.
So hang in there 1 second. And we're talking to Mazen from 961 Beer. You can go to 961beer.com right now and check out the beers that we're talking about and ask questions yourself when we come back. So hang in there. It's the session. We'll be right back.
A vial of White Labs yeast is the key to your best beer. When you open a vial of White Labs yeast, you're giving your beer its best chance for a perfect fermentation. In addition to their already incredible variety of yeast, White Labs is proud to announce WLP-90, San Diego Super Yeast, now available year-round. WLP-90 is super clean, super fast fermenting, with low esters and has a neutral flavor and aroma profile. It's alcohol tolerant and highly flocculent. For more of the latest White Labs news, click over to whitelabs.com, where you can read reviews of yeast, learn in the lab section, and join the customer club. And if you should find yourself in San Diego, White Labs has a brand new training facility for craft brewers and home brewers alike. whitelabs.com. Discover yeast, nutrients, enzymes, and more for commercial breweries, home brewers, and homebrew stores. White Labs. It's all in the vial.
Northern Brewer presents, What If Homebrewers Ruled the World?
Ladies and gentlemen, if you'll follow me, I will lead you into the gallery area. Now, the first piece up for sale today is a Jamil Zainashev original, a bottle of 1997 vintage Evil Twin.
Oh, I see.
A bidding for this one-of-a-kind piece will start at £7,000. And if you'll continue to follow me, ladies and gentlemen, I can show you a rather abstract piece from Bay Area brewer Justin Crossley. It's a German Doppelbock entitled Justin's Giant Bock. The brewer's notes here indicate that this beer had excellent mouthfeel.
That's just a crazy dream. Or is it? With Northern Brewer, a thirsty nation can craft its own ale and lager for the greater good of mankind. Northern Brewer, the home of $7.99 Brew Saver shipping, superior customer service, and the finest selection of home brewing goods for the future.
What does craft beer mean to you? Is it a delicious way to support your town's local brewer? Or perhaps it's the perfect beverage to pair with those delicious meals at your favorite restaurant and at home. Regardless of whether you're thinking of pints or pairings, pilsners or porters, craftbeer.com is the site where craft beer lovers come together to learn and share. Craftbeer.com is brought to you by the Brewers Association and celebrates the best of American craft beer and its brewers. Craftbeer.com is the best place to find craft beer events
events, recipes, great feature stories, the most up-to-date brewery listings, and resources for your next beer tasting or dinner, like style guidelines, pairing mats, and charts. Get the inside scoop on new beer releases and special events from today's craft beer insiders, and chime in to share your own knowledge, perfect pairings, road trips, recipes, and more. Craftbeer.com, celebrating the best of American beer.
What'd you get?
More brewing ingredients?
Yep. You know what I love about Brewmaster's Warehouse?
The $6.99 shipping.
Well, yeah, but...
Oh, the in-store classes for beginning brewers.
Yeah, that's cool, but...
Oh, the Brew Builder. Creating and saving your recipes online is awesome!
No, I'm... Yes, but...
The cheese-making supplies.
No.
Oh, the wine-making supplies. Oh, the distilling equipment and liquor flavorings.
All that stuff is awesome, yes, but what I really love is that the guy who runs it is totally hot. And that Brew Builder software is awesome.
Oh, yeah.
Brewmaster's Warehouse brings you flat rate shipping on great equipment and ingredients to make beer, wine, cheese, and spirits at brewmasterswarehouse.com. And if you're in Georgia, stop by Brewmaster's Warehouse Monday through Saturday from 10 to 6. Visit brewmasterswarehouse.com today because it's totally hot.
Oh, yeah.
What's funny is brewers just say, yeah, I don't brew to style. I'm brewing my own beer. And it's like a German Pilsner, but it's black.
Yeah, it's a sports beer. You know?
The home of live beer radio.
TheBrewingNetwork.com.
Because like beer,
radio shouldn't suck. You're listening to The Session.
Tuned into The Session.
Because life's too short to listen to crappy radio.
Welcome back to the program. Thanks for sticking with us. Hey, if you're looking for a way to spice things up in the bedroom, or been fantasizing about surprising your lover with an adventurous new toy or adult movie, I've got a deal for you. You can go to adamandeve.com right now, and for a limited time only, you'll get 50% off any item. That's not it. You get your 50% off one item, then you get three free DVDs for a little inspiration. I'm not talking about, like, Disney DVDs here, JP. I'm talking DVDs.
Well, then I don't even really care.
Plus a free extra gift. So sensual, we're not even allowed to talk about it when we have the Lebanese on the line. That's how sensual it is. They don't like sensual gifts or something.
But that gift is going to inspire your wife to rub your lamp.
Right.
Exactly.
See what comes out.
So go to adamandeve.com right now. Use coupon code BNARMY. That's B-N-A-R-M-Y. BNARMY. And you'll get all that good stuff from Adam and Eve. You could buy, you know, creepy things. I don't care what you do with your spare time. Just go to adamandeve.com and do it right now.
Yeah.
All right. On the line with us still right now, we've got Mazen Hajar from 961 Beer, and he's from Beirut, Lebanon. And I guess, did I read right that you're poised to produce like 60,000 barrels of beer already this year?
That's next year. We're hoping for that next year. We're doing 30,000, 35,000 this year.
Oh, that's it?
So you're not still on your 10 barrel system, are you?
No. We have a 3 vessel 35 barrel system now.
Oh, okay. So you had to do that upgrade pretty quickly.
One question but I had actually,
sorry.
Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say we're actually looking to buy a 150 barrel system now.
Wow.
Jesus. My gosh. So as you ramp up production for all of this additional barrelage every year, how do you secure enough supplies? I mean, you mentioned earlier that even when you were getting started, there wasn't a place to buy, obviously, hops and barley and whatnot. Was that an uphill battle to get the raw materials in to do this?
It still is an uphill battle. You'd be surprised. I mean, you know, we use a lot of American hops in our beers. We use Amarillo, Simcoe, and so getting Amarillo for next year was just such a struggle.
I bet. What about shipping costs for that stuff? I mean, hops are expensive for brewers anyway. Are they twice as expensive for you?
They are more expensive for us, yes, but we just did a, you know, something about 961 is it's not just a brewery. It's kind of a message about changing your life.
Okay.
And as tacky as that sounds, we had our tagline in 2006 was, are you resistant to change? way before one gentleman made that phrase very famous.
Right.
So our philosophy has been to try and invest locally and grow stuff locally. So now for our wit beer, we use local unmalted wheat, we use local spices. And we've just recently done a project with the German embassy in Beirut, where we started planting hops in Lebanon.
Huh.
Wow.
Beautiful.
Really?
That's cool.
How do they grow in that region?
Up.
It shouldn't, theoretically. And, you know, they were talking about doing rural development projects. And I said, look, why don't we grow hops? And so they went to their expert service, and the expert service said, no way. And I said, yeah, we used to grow marijuana. I should grow hops, no problem.
Yeah, it's the same.
Used to.
That's the acid test.
Plant. And so they said, okay, if you're crazy enough to put half the money, we'll put the other half. And I said, of course. And so the first year we did a pilot plantation of 20 hops, 20 rhizomes.
All right.
And we produced a little bit of hops. The second year we did 40 rhizomes because, you know, the Germans are so structured and analytical, and they want to take samples and study it. And
it's not the Germans I know.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
So we got enough hops on the second year. We brewed a harvest lager, which the German embassy on October 4th, on the German reunification day, used it to celebrate German reunification.
Wow.
So imagine the Germans using a Lebanese beer to celebrate their own national day.
Awesome. I bet they didn't tell anybody. Like, you're probably the only one who knows it was your beer. Because Germans wouldn't admit that.
It goes against the Reinheitsgebot, doesn't it?
I think so.
It was completely cool. So we're doing a lot of these really cool things. But I mean, you know what? I am very much in favor of sourcing as much locally as possible.
Okay.
But I also don't want to limit my ability to experiment with flavors.
Sure. Smart man. Go ahead.
I want to produce something that is enjoyable by the beer drinker on a day-to-day level, but also interesting enough to be interesting for the beer geek. You know?
Sure. Well, that's the key to success here in craft beer America, too, I think. You know, even us beer geeks in this room, the beers that we rave about the most are the really drinkable ones. The beers that we talk about on occasion are those kind of crazy ones that keep us interested. You know,
exactly. I mean, how many, 120 IBUs? I had a beer that was 0.5% alcohol with 70 IBUs. It was basically a hoppy.
Wow.
Wow.
I mean, that thing ripped my tongue to shreds for 3 weeks.
Right. Yeah, I really screwed that beer up. Sounds like my homebrew. It sounds exactly like my homebrew. I got to go back to the beer we talked about, your first Brewmaster's Select, real quick, because I have some more questions in the chat room about it.
Okay.
It's a good question, because you talked about some of the spices going in the boil and some in the tea. And people want to know which ones went into the boil and which into the tea and why. Why did you, select it that way?
Okay. All of them went into the boil.
Ah, okay.
All of them went into the boil, some a bit earlier than the rest because I wanted to extract more of the slight sourness. I mean, the beer is in no way sour at all.
Okay.
It's just got a hint of acidity, very small hint of acidity. But what went into the tea was the thyme and the mint.
Okay. And was
because
that,
I wanted go that ahead. Lingering taste to carry forward.
Yeah, I could see that. You want to be careful on those things, right?
Yeah, and yeah. Want them to stick around.
Yeah.
So, I see. Okay.
And the nice thing about thyme, when it lingers, is it actually opens up your appetite, so you want to come back for more.
Perfect. No wonder you're selling so much beer. Sneaky.
Exactly.
Sneaky bastard.
Exactly.
It's like, I did my research. By the way, I was a doctor before I opened those two airlines in Lebanon.
Yeah.
You left that. I was a brain surgeon first.
I was the Doogie Howser.
Yeah. I also hosted The Price is Right for 4 seasons.
Did you go to university, Mazen? Are you?
I did, actually. I went to university in the UK. I finished my master's degree in politics.
Okay. And were you going to go into politics?
My dad was a member of parliament. So I was contemplating it for a while. Luckily, I didn't, because I hate politicians and I think politics sucks.
Right. I'm with you on that. I like you much better now. You'd just be a dick if you were a politician, I think.
Now you could be a dick to politicians and get away with it.
Right. Did you have to, I know we talked a little bit about laws, but I think this goes even in any country, in any state here in the U.S., did you have to get any laws changed in order to open up to a new brewery that hadn't, you know, obviously there hadn't been one started in years?
Not at all.
Okay.
Not at all. I mean, the laws in Lebanon are pretty open. I mean, we have a thriving wine industry. We have a thriving spirit industry. We make this crazy spirit called Arak, which is kind of ouzo jacked up on speed.
Yeah, I can.
Yikes, right.
I can get with that. I can get with that.
Should get it 40?
Like 2 seconds. It's like flammable. Don't even light a cigarette next to someone drinking it.
Wow.
But no, we didn't have to change anything. Actually, the biggest difficulty I've had in export is the U.S.
Huh.
It's a mind-boggling web of God knows what the hell I'm doing.
It doesn't surprise me.
Yeah.
And any mistake is fatal in the U.S. If you sign up with a distributor, that's it. It's a fucking Catholic wedding. You can't divorce.
It is.
That's the best part.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter if he's screwing the priest.
Right.
Sign back, you're screwed. That's it.
Wow. Yeah, I'm not surprised by that at all. So that's the reason for the delay getting to market here then?
No, the delay has been we kind of just went live with our new brewery in March last year.
I see.
And again, you talked about producing quality beer. It took us at least 6 months to figure out what the hell we were doing again. It's a constant struggle. People think, okay, I make good homebrew, and therefore I must be able to start a brewery and make a good brewery.
Right. I love this. Yeah, you're right.
That's what I thought. That's how I started off. And you know what? You can poop in your beer almost when you're making it on a homebrew level and still get away with some of the shit that you're doing.
Right. Well, I think the mouthfeel on this turd beer is poop porter is pretty good.
I'm getting chocolatey on the finish.
So nutty. You know what I think you should do
is a piece of corn in there?
Maybe back off on the protein and fiber a little bit the day before.
That was the Budweiser Corona Coors Miller whatever poop beer.
All right. Look what you started, Mazza. Great job.
Yeah, no, exactly. Like, you really needed me to start this.
Right. Yeah,
he knows.
True.
He knows what you're doing.
That's true. But the point that you're getting at, and I love this, you know, it isn't that easy to scale up and brew on a commercial system.
It's a completely different monster altogether.
Yeah.
And especially the minute you start selling outside of a brew pub. And then, I think the technical points are, you brew at home, that's one line. You brew in a brew pub, that's another line. Because you're selling everything out of kegs or serving tanks in your pub, you're fine.
Yeah.
You brew and sell outside of your brewery, that's a third line. And then you're traveling outside of state. And once you get to that level, it's a different... I mean, we brought in a pasteurizer because we wanted to open up the export market. When we started brewing, we weren't pasteurizing.
Yeah.
And so we used to have the same complaints that most of the craft brewers in the U.S. have, which is, man, I had your beer yesterday in bar X. It was amazing. I went to bar Y. It tasted like rancid piss.
Yeah.
Well, you know, because bar Y stuck it up out in the sun for 2 weeks before he cooled it down and sold it to you.
Right, right.
So, you know, there are so many technical skills, and budgeting is insane. You can't scrape together a brewery, a decent brewery, without insane amounts of money.
You get what you pay for.
You absolutely get what you pay for. There is absolutely not a free lunch in beer.
Yeah.
See, every time we bought a cheap secondhand piece of equipment, we ended up scrapping it and just not even selling it back, buying one.
Right. Yeah. And that's it. You know, you got to try, as a startup, I know the deal, you have to try to cut corners, you got to do it, but I agree with Mazen here, it ends up, you're better off just spending the money to begin with. And back to the difficulty in stepping up, I just want to say, for the record here, that's why I think that half of the breweries that come on this show and say they never dumped a batch of beer are full of shit.
You know,
they come and they go, no, we were good, you know, right from the beginning. You're full of shit.
Bullshit.
You know.
Bullshit. Anyone who's been good from the beginning, if anyone has been truly good from the beginning, I'll stuff feathers up my ass.
Right. Great, I'm going to go search for one right now.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck, screwed now.
Yeah. I agree with you because even guys that we know here, like let's take Jamil for example. Just one of our guys does shows all the time. Opens up a new brewery. I don't think he. In fact, I know he didn't dump the batch, but his first batch was riddled with problems too. And he's one of the best home brewers on the planet. And scale up to a commercial system, shit happens, and he knew that. And that's why I just think I like that you're saying it because a lot of people just come out and go, it's fine. I was a brewer, and it's just brewing beer. And in principle, yes, but in practice, no.
Even if you're a brewer with a big brewery and then you go open up on your own, hell, even if you're a brewer with a big brewery, you still will dump batches.
Yeah. Well, I agree.
Yeah, and I think it helps to know that, especially as a home brewer. I mean, you can even scale that down to home brewer. It helps to know as a home brewer, you're going to fuck up.
And
you're going to fuck up huge.
Every time I've upgraded my system, it's like a whole new brew day for me. Like I'm starting from scratch again.
Yeah, your numbers are going to be pretty much off.
Yeah.
So if you just go through it, we kind of, blasé about it. Like, well, whatever. It's going to happen. I know that. I'm waiting for it. And it's not going to, shorten your life by 10 years because you freak
out
about it. You're
stressed out about it.
Yeah, it's like, shit happens, whatever.
Right.
I was talking to Gary Fish from Deschutes, and Gary said something to me, and I thought, my God, he's absolutely right. They moved from a dry mill to a wet mill. I mean, as simple as that. And it changed the characteristics of their beer.
Okay.
Wow.
They had to bring in another dry mill just to go back to the original because it had that much of an impact. I mean, the way you mill, the extraction you'll get, the kind of steps and how quickly you get there, just the kind of agitation you do, everything changes. I mean, people kind of forget the experiment when, same batch, two barrels, one in the basement, one on the roof, two different beers.
Yeah.
And it's the same. Every time we move up a system, and this is our third system, we moved from a pilot, 20-gallon system to a 10-barrel system to a 35-barrel system. And every time we move up, all the parameters change, and it takes time to adjust to them.
Sure. Back to ingredients real quick. Question from the chat room. Beardy is in there. Two-part question. Where do you get your yeast, and do you use liquid or dry yeast out there?
I actually use dry yeast.
Interesting.
I'll tell you why I use dry yeast, because we don't have a yeast propagation lab yet.
Okay.
And we don't have any yeast banks. We're the first brewery in the whole of the Middle East. And so to fly in liquid yeast was going to be impossible, simply because of the transit time. So we have to go with dry yeast.
So what do? You get the dry yeast, and then do you have a small vessel where you propagate and start that yeast for pitching?
Absolutely. We just hydrate and start that yeast for pitching.
Okay.
But we then use the same we reuse the yeast over and over and over until we're unhappy with its performance and dump it.
And do you use multiple strains of yeast, or do you just have a lager and an ale?
We have a lager and an ale. That's all we use.
Just the two. Okay.
Did we hear where does it come from?
You want to excite the beer geeks out there? I can tell you a sneak preview of our batch 03 that we're doing with a vineyard.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
About 2 years ago, we wanted to celebrate the anniversary of the brewery. And I brewed a beer that was 40% white grape juice, 10% raisins, 10% wheat, 40% barley. Fermented that using an ale yeast to about 8-9%, and then put in a champagne yeast to take it to 15, and aged it.
It
turned out to be amazing.
Really? Wow. Did you just age it in stainless steel or? In bottle,
aged. Actually, back then it was aged in a plastic fermenter because that was the scale that we were brewing on.
Wow, that sounds like a tasty beer.
So, but this time we're collaborating with a local vineyard. We're going to use local white grape, which are only indigenous to Lebanon, and we're going to age them in white wine oak barrels.
Okay. Sounds great.
Sounds great.
I love the finishing with the champagne yeast, too, because not just to drive up the alcohol, like you said, but I really like the character of beers that are finished with champagne yeast.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's going to be a wine-like beer anyway, so it should have that sort of finish on it.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it still had very strong beer characteristics. I mean, I think the raisins add more to the body because the grape juice ferments right out almost.
Yeah.
So the raisins and the wheat kind of add more texture and more body to it.
Oh, that's awesome.
You talk about the UK being like a all the rich history of beer,
mm-hmm.
and then you go to somewhere like the Middle East. And it has nothing on it, man.
Right, where it was, like you said, you know, invented, essentially.
It's got to be a good feeling to kind of bring that back and show everyone, this is beer now.
Yeah.
You know? I don't know. It's a feel-good story.
What we tried to do was not so much dig up the history and try and find ancient texts and make ancient beers, because that's already been done.
Right.
Yeah, we know Sam Calagione, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, we saw the TV show.
Yeah.
I've seen that. I've seen that somewhere. I saw an ad for that.
Yeah.
No, I mean, Sam is a great guy, and he's done a lot for beer. Someone absolutely. I highly respect. I love the guy with all my heart.
Yeah.
But what we're trying to do is we're trying to add more of a local. We're picking out local herbs and local flavors, which won't be available anywhere else in the world. I mean, we're not just another couple of guys who got high on our own supply and hated Budweiser and started a brewery in Colorado. Yeah. Not that's a bad thing.
Right.
That's a great thing, actually. But we have a unique story which has a bit more depth to that. I mean, Lebanon kind of lost its beer history thanks to French colonialism. And we all know what French beer is like.
Yeah, we do.
That's good.
So we've become wine drinkers rather than beer drinkers, although we invented the stuff. I mean, the first traces of beer were from this region. So it's kind of... It's kind of a trip of national... I mean, 961 is the telephone code for Lebanon.
Okay, that was my question about that, too.
It's a statement of identity. We're very proud of being Lebanese. We're the new face of Lebanon. We're the cool side of Lebanon. And we're trying to do something different with an old tradition of ours.
Yeah. Well, take that suit off before you become the new face of Lebanon, will you?
You don't like my suit?
No, yeah, he says he wants a tuxedo instead.
Yeah, tuxedo.
I'll happily oblige next time. I mean, you seen the haircut on that damn thing? I look like such a fine boy.
Where is it? Now I gotta see it.
Yeah, now you gotta look. It's a little blurry there, but...
Oh, yeah, it's real pixelated.
Get the idea.
Yeah, you get the idea.
I look like a complete bum now. I've got a beard, long hair. I look like a tree-hugging hippie.
You're a brewer. That's what you
exactly.
look like.
He became a brewer.
He's actually occupying Lebanon now.
Exactly. Yeah. I'm just hugging the hell out of everything that moves.
Yeah.
I love you.
Well, I like this part of the story. I really do. The homecoming, the new face of Lebanon. And I think, and I mean, this is cheesy too, but I don't give a shit. Beer is a great ambassador for that.
Yeah.
You know, it's a nice product for that kind of a message. That's what I think. It's just, it fits.
It's good.
Yeah.
You know, just, you know, that take an example of the question that was asked. How do you sell beer to Muslims? I mean, just by selling beer, already you're breaking down that misconception about the region.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, it is as simple as that. Beer is this amazing thing that brings people together. Not in the way that wine does. I mean, wine is great, but wine has a snobby attitude around it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Beer is much more laid back. It's much more democratic. And it's much easier to sit there and have a few and get hammered and you know, rub my lamp, rub your lamp, whatever the hell.
Right.
Hey, let's rub each other's lamp, dude. I don't even care anymore.
Play gay chicken with beer. You can't do that with wine.
No.
Yeah, you can't do that with wine. Wine, you've got to be really pompous and shove the wine.
Right.
Yeah, and there's no way you can have a beard and make wine.
No, that's illegal. I think it's illegal.
I don't know many winemakers that have beards.
Well, on that note, so another one of our listeners in the chat room, his name is Fierce Beard. He says, hey, you know, this isn't really about brewing, but I was wondering if Mazin looks at himself and his brewery as a sort of ambassador between Western and Middle Eastern cultures. Is that part of your message, too?
I think it's part of the Lebanese identity. We've always been kind of a mix and match of both.
Okay.
I mean, Lebanon is standing right there on the edge of the Mediterranean, 20 minutes away from Cyprus, an hour's flight away from Rome, and in the other direction, 2 hours away from Dubai, 3 hours away from Dubai. So it is at that crossroads. And because it's half Christian, half Muslim, and because it's such a varied, culturally varied place, it's just become natural for us to kind of embrace Western brewing traditions and kind of add a little Middle Eastern flavor to our beers. I mean, there's a lot of beers in the pipeline coming out. We now have 5 beers out. We recently released a Pilsner. And you want to know what? Brewing a Pilsner kicked my ass.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Why, just temperature control issues or what?
No. I mean, you know, a lot of craft beer in the U.S. Hides behind a ton of hops and flavor and blah, blah, blah.
Right.
And that masks a lot of imperfections in your brewing process.
Yeah.
When you brew a Pilsner, there is absolutely no hiding. Your pants are down. That's it. You're naked and you can't hide it.
Right.
Well, I tell new brewers they should brew light beers. A lot of them start, you know, doing Russian Imperial Stouts.
Sure.
And then everything hides behind that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But I say make light beers. You'll really get your craft down. Then make those big beers. They'll be even better.
Yeah.
Well, you asked us to name one thing about those big brewers that is positive.
Yeah.
It's they actually technically brew an amazing beer. Never mind it tastes like shit.
you're right.
You're right.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, I'd even say that a lot of craft brewers in America don't actually truly make lagers. They'll call it a Pilsner or a Helles, but you taste it, and it wasn't lagered. I mean, it was maybe fermented cold with an ale yeast at 60 degrees, but it's not truly a Pilsner.
Yeah. No. And you want to take it to the next level? Try pasteurizing your Pilsner.
Right.
So what happens to it? What does the flavor change when you pasteurize a Pilsner?
Well, if you go anywhere beyond 0.1 part per million dissolved oxygen, your oxidization is almost instantaneous. I mean, literally a month or a month and a half into the bottle, if you're not cold storing, your beer is off. It can go dark brown with heavy butterscotch flavor.
I see.
Sounds
wow.
Great.
Just really accelerating the process.
Like dramatically. I mean, that's the downside of pasteurization is it accelerates oxidization. But if you manage your dissolved oxygen, which is a complete headache.
Which you should be doing anyway, though, you know.
Exactly. That's why most people who say, oh, pasteurization is crap, it affects the flavor. It's because you idiots aren't managing your dissolved oxygen.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, aerated water, pushing beer with water, making sure that the pipes are deaerated. It is a nightmare to do all this stuff.
Yeah.
It really peels off any imperfections that you have in your brewing process. Hmm. And so to help us introduce our more tasty red ales and porters and stuff that we've been brewing, we kind of brew the Pilsner. But again, in Lebanon, because we've had this French idea of beer, and the French have a blonde beer and a dark beer.
Right.
There's the only country on earth where you can ask for a dark beer or a blonde beer.
Okay.
Interesting. Yeah, so you're like on a sitcom in the 60s. I'll have a beer, please. Oh, here you go.
Exactly. So what we had to do was we basically introduced a separate brand called Lebanese Brew, or LB, which is the internet country code for Lebanon. So all our internet pages end with .com.lb.
Okay.
So we introduced LB as a Pilsner, and the idea behind that is to break that hold of 85 years of one beer. Here, try something different, which isn't brewed using corn, which doesn't have caramel food coloring or silica gel to hold up its foam, or sulfates, or any of this crap, or stabilizers. This is a real Pilsner brewed the traditional German way.
Yeah, right here in your own country.
Yeah.
And so now we have 6 beers, but the pipeline is coming out. We're going to be doing all these new Brewmaster Selects. We're also going to be doing a set of seasonals, and we're going to be expanding our regulars. So our next one is we're going to reintroduce also our Imperial Stout, which is brewed with coffee. We called extract coffee, espresso coffee, and then add it in the fermentation. So that you don't get much of the bitterness, you just get the aromatics and the flavoring.
Yeah.
I really want to try some of these beers.
I know. Well, before I plan our trip to Beirut, I do have an important question. It's probably the most important question of this interview. Are there strip clubs in Beirut?
Absolutely.
Really? Okay, we'll be there.
Well, that's sealed the deal.
Yeah, that's all I needed to know. I don't travel if there aren't strip clubs.
We call them super nightclubs.
Super.
I like that. I'm going to start calling the strip clubs that here.
Yeah. I mean, that's exactly what it is. They have music, but just with boobs jiggling. That's
a super nightclub.
Right.
Exactly. It's weird because you have nightclubs and then you have super nightclubs, which are horse pace.
I love it. Now, is your beer sold in any of these super nightclubs?
No, but if you let me know which one you're heading to, I can make sure that we'll send some down.
You'll have to tell me which one I'm headed to. I always go by the local recommendation. But yes, I would like to be able to drink 961 in a Beirut strip club.
You don't need a visa to come into Lebanon as an American. You can just enter the country at the airport.
Oh, is that right?
Really? Can we leave the same way?
See,
absolutely, dude.
No, you can't leave. Actually,
well, I don't know. I need to know an escape route everywhere I am. I just get freaked out and I gotta go.
This is actually how Mazen keeps.
I've got a newspaper that you can hold for a nice photo opportunity.
do you have a flag you can put behind me too?
And a nice little big sword. Isn't that the image that everyone has of this place?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
That's what I thought your label would be.
I mean, I was going to...
The funny part is the New York Times picked us the best destination on Earth in 2009. We were picked by Condé Nast Traveler in 2010 as one of the three destinations on Earth to visit.
Wow. See, we don't know those things. I'm still not convinced you're not a terrorist, Mazen.
Yeah, am I allowed on this trip? Yeah.
I will down you in beer in 2 seconds.
Right. Yeah, I want to go. I'm being serious. Beirut is now, I think, moved to the top of my list.
Yeah. Kind of sounds good. Beer, and it's close to Greece. We can go see, you and I will go.
Yeah.
We'll go see my family.
You can't drive to Beirut from here.
Can't?
No.
Do you fucking with me? Shut up.
You have to take a train.
You almost had me. Almost had me, dude.
You have to get in that aluminum tube, JP.
Right. Let's
get on the aluminum half tube.
The boat.
Oh, there you go.
It's a bumpy sea ride.
I'll see you guys in 4 months. I'll meet you there.
Right.
In the back of a container, like an illegal immigrant.
Here's a couple more questions coming through. Eagle Dude in the chat room wants to know, I guess you'll be the expert, who drinks more, the Christians or the Muslims?
You know what? That's a complete misconception. In Lebanon, you're not going to get a Christian and a Muslim separation. It's basically Lebanese.
Gotcha. So we're all sitting in the bar together.
There isn't Muslim Lebanese coexisting with a Christian Lebanese. It's just all Lebanese.
Understood. Okay. Here's a beer question from Huesel. I don't know his name. What were the IBUs you were shooting for in that Pilsner you were talking about?
I actually had a slightly lower alcohol Pilsner. We did a 4.3 ABV.
Yeah.
Even strips it more. And we shot, I think, for 20 to 25 IBUs.
Okay. So it's on the mild side of a Pilsner.
Yeah. But again, remember, what I'm trying to do with this Pilsner is to kind of show off what a light lager Pilsner should be.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I'm kind of showing them that you don't need to use corn, you don't need to use caramel. I mean, seriously, Heineken in its local beer uses caramel.
Really?
Food coloring.
Huh.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Because they use 30% of their malt grain is corn.
Right. So you're not getting that deep yellow color they're looking for.
Right.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. Now, your regular beers are a wit beer, a porter, a red ale, and a lager. What's your best-selling beer?
A red ale, funnily enough.
Is that right? And can you tell us a little bit about that beer? What does the malt bill look like?
Excuse me. It's got quite a lot of specialty malts in it. So it's got a very strong malt backbone.
Okay.
You pick up quite significant caramel on the mouth because I use a lot of Crystal 60s.
All right.
All my malt comes from Weiermann in Germany.
Good choice.
So I don't have a... I mean, the equivalent of that would be Karam Munich. We use Pilsner as our base malt. It's bitter hopped with Pearly. And then Cascade and Amarello to finish off.
Is so Pearly your main bittering hop for all your beers? I've heard you mention it a couple times.
I like it. It's a subtle. It's not as harsh.
Yeah.
And it offers better control than a lot of the other hops that I've used for bittering.
I'd like to try it as a bittering hop. I've never used it.
It's pretty neutral.
It's a great bittering hop. Yeah.
Okay. Exactly. It's a great bittering hop. I absolutely agree. It is neutral, so you can then really accentuate all the right flavors that you want.
Your finish.
Okay. I mean, the red ale has a lychee, passion fruit, peach nose, and it's about 35 to 45 IBUs in the finish.
Sounds good.
Yeah,
5.5 ABV.
See, even you can drink that, JP.
I can totally drink that.
5.5. You'll be okay.
I'll be all over
it. It's important for me to make, you know, now there is this obsession in the U.S. with session beers, and people set themselves the ridiculous goals. Like, I'm going to do flavorful beer at 4.5 or less ABV.
Yes.
I personally say, look, the reason why craft beer came about was because we were sick of these crappy beers that we were being offered. Yeah. And the risk is, if we don't offer drinkable beers that people enjoy, that are flavorful, that are an alternative, but that don't do things for the sake of doing them, then we are going to risk failing as well. So the whole philosophy of 961 is, we don't do a hop addition in the mash tun just so that we can claim we added another 10 IBUs above the next guy.
Right.
We don't do these things. I mean, unless it really serves an interest and a purpose in the beer, we avoid adding complications. Some of the best things in life are simple, but they are complex enough to keep us interested in coming back for more.
Got it. I like this philosophy. All right, Dark Alex in the chat room wants to know if That's you've racist. Ever brewed with saffron as a spice.
Funnily enough, no, not yet, but I do intend to quite soon. We have something in the planning.
Okay.
I haven't. I've brewed with a lot of spices. I mean, I've done some really crazy stuff. I did a Christmas ale which had honey from cedar trees. Now, this is the most expensive honey you can get your hands on in Lebanon. It's about $50 to a kilogram.
Wow.
Which is
wow.
2 pounds. But we brewed this beer, and with that and a bit of liquor extracts, we've done a pumpkin ale with a which doesn't taste like a pumpkin pie, but tastes more of a beer with a strong pumpkin presence. We've done a lot of experimentation. I mean, we've done some sour cherries, we've done all sorts of herbs, all sorts of spices. Again, we avoid kind of the gimmicks. Like, I would not put too much chili in my beer.
Right.
You know, those sorts of things that I find to be more on the gimmicky side.
Right. The new beer from 961, Nacho Cheese Beer, coming out next month.
Totally.
Yeah. No, I'm with you. I do like the philosophy that you know, if it has a purpose, you're not against using odd ingredients, but it's to serve a purpose. You're really looking to bring out that flavor. You're not looking for a headline.
Exactly. I mean, you know, some of these guys are, you know, I am a big fan of BrewDog. I think they make some amazing beers.
Right.
But some of the beers they make are absolutely undrinkable.
Oh, yeah.
Not
except like having stuff.
Excluding the one that they shoved up the squirrel's ass. I mean, that was a really good beer.
That must have been great.
You know.
Yeah. I actually had that beer.
Do you? You did?
We didn't bother.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of great craft brewers out there who are doing really amazing stuff.
Yeah.
That can still grab your attention. I mean, you know, Dogfish Head is one of my favorite ones. I have a lot of respect for Deschutes. I mean, these guys make Black Boot Porter, which is one of my favorite beers.
Great beer.
Yeah.
Great beer, and they consistently make a damn good beer.
Right.
Brooklyn Brewery makes great beer. I'm naming some of the big ones, but I also love Avery.
Yeah.
I love, there's so much variety out there.
But what you're saying is exactly why I agree with this philosophy. The reason I'll try anything that Deschutes makes, any of their experimental beers, is because Black Butte Porter is an amazing beer all the time.
Right.
So I know that they love and know how to make good beer.
Yeah.
So I'll try anything they make. But it's because of that beer. It's not because of the headline. It's not because of whatever crazy ingredient. It's because of their standard beer.
That's true.
Exactly. Yeah.
So
I think, I mean, you know, you can get your name out there doing crazy beers, but you have to have the consistent beers to back it up, and you have to have quality beers to back that up, or else you're just going to be a flash in the pan.
Yep.
And remember that all these crazy headlines disappear very quickly. No one really remembers the last idiot who jacked up, I don't know, who put his socks into the beer.
Right. I agree.
You know,
it was
people remember Brooklyn Brewery because they made the Brooklyn Lager,
yeah,
and they made it damn well. And when people were making water, they were making a pretty good lager.
Yeah,
and they still make the same lager, but they now do more flavorful stuff.
Yeah,
but you keep coming back to them. It is much more difficult to make a name for yourself with a beer like a porter or a lager. It is much more difficult.
Yeah.
But once you do, you're set.
You're in there.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, Mazen, listen, it has been a pleasure to talk to you and learn about 961. You do have a great story, and I need to try this beer. So if I don't make it,
sure.
If I don't make it over there first, keep us up to date about when you start exporting.
Well, definitely. I mean, we're just now going through the label approvals from the TTB.
Okay.
So we should be there quite soon.
Right. Well, I'm telling you, if you put this picture of you on the bottle,
it'll slide right through. TTB will say, yeah. Awesome.
I'll pixel it like that and everything.
They'll say, look at what a respectable young Lebanese man he is.
What a financial whiz kid from Lebanon.
Yeah, that's what they'll say.
He has no, he doesn't remind us of all those corrupt bankers who took the world to shit.
Right. Yeah, you don't remind us at all. Yeah, you're right. Well, good. I hope that you get through it. It looks like we have a phone call for you real quick. Does he want to talk to Mazen before we get out? Okay. I believe that Sam Calagione is on the line. Sam, are you with us?
Yeah. Hey, Justin. How you doing?
We're doing good, Sam. How are you? Did you want to talk to Mazen?
Yeah, I just want to say, hey, Mazen, how you doing?
How are you?
Hey, I'm doing all right. I just got really excited. I was listening before the big game here. You know, we're big Giants and Patriots fans out here in the East Coast. Of course, I'm in my SR-71 Blackhawk right now.
Right.
Actually heading to the Middle East, as a matter of fact.
Wow.
But I was just curious about local ingredients. I had a few questions about some of the ingredients I was about to put in one of my new beers.
Okay.
And see what you thought.
Shoot. Anything.
What's that?
Hey, go ahead. Anything.
Well, I was looking at beginning with an alfalfa extract, and then getting some. This is going to be mostly a little bit of malt, but mostly spice beer this time.
Okay.
And it's going to start with alfalfa extract, a little bit of Turo, ambergris tincture, ammonium bicarbonate. looking into using some basil oil for this one and some white beeswax. there's a few other. I'm looking at camphene and kanaga oil. These are two things I'm picking up when I'm in the Middle East. And guar gum is another. You talk about stability. I was thinking about using some guar gum in this one and some hexanol. And
Sam, how are you going to infuse the wax into a beer? I mean, that seems like impossible, right? Are you going to make the bottle out of wax, or what are you going to do?
Is that JP?
Yeah.
Yeah, sorry.
Hey, yeah, I'm not finished.
Oh, sorry. Go on.
Oh, wow. Right.
Thanks. So isobutric acid, some jasmine, concrete, and oil. Lemon oil and extract. I was going to get into some smoke flavor for this one, along with some snake root oil. Not really used in a lot of beers.
Oil is really great in the beer.
it sounds fantastic.
Yeah, it sounds awesome.
Well, we're running it through a hydrolyzer, and we're going to go ahead and run that through a vaporizer before we put it in
the Randall line.
And a Randall.
Yes, Randall that, yes.
We're going to Randall. Of course, everything goes through the Randall before it hits the bottles. we're looking at putting sugars, tannic acid, tobacco extracts. we're also getting into some urea, valencine. I'm not sure if you're familiar with that. It's pretty popular in the.
Of course, Vaseline. Yes, definitely.
Yeah, of course.
Well,
I'm
best
ingredient. Go on.
We're going to put water in this one.
Yeah.
How
but
much?
We're going to do something. Well, we're going to go a 50-50 water vinegar mix.
Okay.
We are adding xanthan gum and wine and wine sherry for this one. And we're going to ferment this in a wild mountain cat's stomach lining.
Oh, my God. Whatever imagination you had coming up with that list.
Yeah.
Dude, well, that is phenomenal. Usually, it tastes amazing. It sounds like it's going to taste amazing.
Yeah.
I think the snake oil root will really carry the concrete flavor.
I mean, I think
the but the concrete the concrete is sort of that good beer backbone that people always talk about.
For mouthfeel.
Yeah.
and I think the oil and the wax are going to marry really well.
They're adding vinegar.
Right.
Well, I'm sure you can imagine that we're running out of new ingredients out here, Dogfish Head. So right. I'm scouring the world most, building areas, construction areas.
We don't have oil in Lebanon, but our neighbors do.
Right, okay. So it'll be fine.
So, if you pop by, we can drive over and get some.
I'd appreciate that.
No problem.
You could fly that SR-71
just
a little
higher.
Just swing
by in the Blackbird and pick them up.
Yeah.
Well, that's why I got the one of the most state-of-the-art aircraft from the 60s. and so, yeah, I just want to run by those natural ingredients for our next beer. It's called Radial RA-07. It's we're going to run higher.
Yeah, I like it.
We're working closely with Hankook, which is a tire manufacturer. So we're gonna actually serve it out of a tire.
You could do that with Dunlop. It would be more original.
Yeah.
Thank you. Well, I appreciate the airtime, Justin. And hey, you know what? Go Dolphins, right? Okay.
Thank you, Sam.
I love you.
There you go. Sam Calagione, everybody. Wow. Talking about his new beer here with Mazin. We wanted your opinion, Mazin. That's a lot of respect, I think.
Yeah.
I think it's going to taste amazing. Sam does is going to taste amazing.
That's pretty much what happened.
Right.
Especially the concrete backbone with a bit of vinegar.
Oh, and poured from a tire? Jesus.
Better than a Randall. If you're going to stick a bottle up a skunk's ass, you may as well pour it from a tire.
Yeah, why not?
100%. Go to 961beer.com and check out Mazin's beer right there. Fantastic story, and I can't wait to try it. Thank you again for spending time with us today, man.
I love you guys.
All right,
thanks,
brother.
Mazin.
Take care.
Oh, man.
There we go. Mazin Hajar, and what a great story. What a great brewery. I can't wait to try the stuff, and... that was a lot more fun. I'm glad we got him on the show because, the GABF interview that we did was pretty short and it's very distracting over there. So it was nice to just get to hear him talk about why he did the brewery.
And so much has changed in the 3 years since that happened.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool guy. What a story. Okay.
I think we got a 2012 BNA Best Guest nominee already.
I think
It's
usually one of our first guests of the year that get into that category, actually. I don't know how that happens, but it does. All right, here's what we're going to do. We'll take a quick break, and when we come back, I've got a couple of things that I need to talk about. We'll do our Drunk of the Week. We'll wrap up our... Twitter game of the week.
Got some good ones too.
And I got just a couple of good things that we need to do. Meanwhile, at this break, I have a special thing happening for you.
What?
Well, Fiercebeard wrote us a Drunk of the Week song and he sent it in. So, since we're about to do Drunk of the Week when we come back, I'll play you the song right now here at the break. So here's Fiercebeard's new Drunk of the Week song, 888-401-BEER. If you're already drunk getting ready for the Super Bowl, then we want your phone call. We'll be out of here in about 20 minutes. So I'll be right back after this break.
Well, I've been drinking since the sun came up. Started with bloodies in a coffee cup. I'm seeing double mine, but that's alright. You know I gotta be the drunk of the week tonight. Hey, yeah, alright. Of all the shit that I drank, I prepared a funny story about my hot liquor tank. I'll put my woman on, she'll tell you I'm right, 'cause she knows that I'm the drunk of the week tonight. Hey, yeah, I've been to Scott the Jew. He ain't no Bebo, but he's still alright. And he knows that I'm the drunk of the week tonight. Hey, yeah, hey, hey, hey. Oh, alright. Begin to speak. Hope I ain't as douchey as that guy last week. I brought it stronger than the rest of the flight, and you know that I'm the drunk of the week tonight. Hey, yeah, hey, hey, hey.
Oh, oh God.
Ever dreamed about attending the World Brewing Academy? This year, thanks to Lalamond and Danstar, one lucky brewer will make that dream a reality for free. Lalamond and Danstar invite you to enter the Beer School 2012 contest. One lucky grand prize winner will receive fully paid tuition in the 2012 World Brewing Academy web-based concise course in brewing technology worth more than $3,000. From now until April 12, 2012, every Danstar yeast package you use is your ticket to enter. Visit danstaryeast.com for the details and to print your official entry form. There's no limit on the number of times you can enter, so get brewing with Danstar and get your entries in to the Danstar 2012 Beer School Contest. Whether you want to build your home brewing skills or build a career as a professional brewer, this course will change the way you think of beer and brewing. Enter at danstaryeast.com and get the dry yeast advantage with Danstar and Lalamond premium brewing yeast, and enter to win.
By popular vote from the Northwest Brewing News, HopTech has been voted the best homebrew shop in Northern California. Serving homebrewers for nearly 30 years in Dublin, California, HopTech carries more than 40 different kinds of hops and more than 60 different grains. Malt extract, spices and sugars, hop oils and extracts. Open every day except Wednesday, or shop online anytime at hoptech.com or call 1-800-DRY-HOPS, 1-800-379-4677. With in-store classes almost every Saturday, huge selection, and a dedicated commitment to their customers, HopTech is one of the longest running and passionate homebrew stores, period. And now, by popular vote, the best homebrew shop in Northern California. And don't forget their 15% military discount. HopTech. Visit today at hoptech.com.
When you hear Blickman Engineering, think innovation, passion, quality, and customer service. Blickman Gear is designed by brewers to give you a sense of pride in your equipment. At Blickman, they know what makes brewing a pain and build gear that makes it fun. Like the intuitive beer gun, a completely different approach to filling bottles. The Therminator wort chiller, a new take on a plate chiller that's sized for flow, performance, and the high groundwater temps homebrewers face every day. The Brewmometer, a brilliant weldless thermometer design with brewing parameters right on the dial. The Auto Sparge, ultimate simplicity for preventing an overflow or running your mash tun dry. And much more, like the modular top-tier brewing stand, conical fermenters, and their Boilermaker brew pots. With more cutting-edge equipment coming soon, keep up with the latest from Blickman at BlickmanEngineering.com and stay on the cutting edge.
Hops in my beer again.
What? Why?
It's just too ridiculous. Insane prices, stupid contract, high shipping costs, crappy selection.
Dude, you need Nico Brew.
Nico Brew will rock your f***ing face right the f*** off your f***ing skull. $5 shipping to all 50 states, plus fantastic international rates, get you low prices on Nico Brew's great selection of hops and more. Whether you're a home brewer, a pro brewer, or a homebrew shop owner, Nico Brew Brew can get you the hops you need in increments big and small. Single orders, spot buys, or full contracts. And there's only one place to join the uber special secret elite bare bones club where you'll get the best deals anywhere.
Holy f***ing shit!
NicoBrew.com. NikoBrew. Nico Brew, your bare bones buddy in the brewing business.
In my gut. It totally works. The beer is almost identical to the grain sandwich.
Your colon won't know what hit it.
The home of live beer radio.
TheBrewingNetwork.com.
Because like beer,
radio shouldn't suck. You're listening to The Session.
Hey everybody, it's another round of The Brewing Network's announcements. These are for Sunday, February 5th.
First up, the Cass River Homebrew Club is happy to announce the 5th annual Homebrew at the Web competition. That's World Expo of Beers. Entries will be accepted February 6th through the 19th, and judging will take place at Sullivan's Black Forest Brewhouse in Frankenmuth, Michigan, between March 2nd and March 4th, with the award ceremony on Sunday afternoon. This is a BJCP-sanctioned competition accepting all categories. The Best of Show beer gets a $1,000 gift card, and the Best of Show meat or cider gets $500. There'll be many additional prizes for entrants and volunteers, and none other than John Palmer will judge and do a special presentation Saturday evening for the volunteers. Also, Gordon Strong will be judging your meads and doing book signings throughout the weekend. To sign up to judge or steward, or for more info on entry fees, hotel discounts, etc., please visit crhbc.org. You ever wondered what separates a truly world-class brew from a mediocre one? Find out by enrolling in Beer Judging 101 in Berkeley, California on the last day of San Francisco Beer Week. That's Sunday, February 19th. You'll sample and compare a number of world-class examples, discuss ingredients, brewing processes, world beer styles, the effects of aging, and much more. Expand your understanding of beer flavors and learn about the Beer Judge certification program. It's $30, and it'll be hosted by the Pyramid Ale House in Berkeley. Space is limited, so sign up today at tinyurl.com/SFBW Class 12. Finally this week, America's Finest Homebrew Competition 2012, hosted by the Quality Ale and Fermentation Fraternity, is taking place March 2nd and 3rd in San Diego, California. The entry window is February 8th through the 22nd. This competition is a Masters Championship of Amateur Brewing qualifying event. Medals will be awarded to the first, second, and third place finishers in each category, as well as special awards for Best of Show and for the Brewing Machine, which is the home brewer that wins the most awards from all categories. Visit quaff.org, Q-U-A-F-F, for all the details. That wraps it up for this week. As always, if you'd like a spot in this segment, please email your competitions to scott@thebrewingnetwork.com. And until next time, this is Scott the Jew saying L'chaim.
It's 888-401-BEER. This is The Session.
In the past few days, I've been seriously reconsidering my participation on Facebook. It's been a long time coming, but I guess I just realized how insane that thing is. Facebook has become a dumpster for our lives that we just keep feeding, throwing the fat that we trim off of our lives into it. Go ahead, look at your feed. Notice how 98% of it is all white noise, nonsense, meaningless gibberish. Beyond the I'm eating sausage LOL comments, most of the stuff people post about themselves is literal waste. Yeah. Chances are, if you're my friend on Facebook, I have your feed hidden. Why did I add you as a friend then? Because I would feel guilty rejecting you, just like I feel guilty unfriending you. I use Facebook as a way to gain popularity. There, I said it. And it feels good to be honest about it. In fact, many people post something witty and attempts to be liked by people they've never met. And most of all, I don't know. I don't even know what I'm reading anymore. I'm a terrible reader.
That's a pretty good blog post you just wrote. You just wrote red.
So Jip posted this week on his, by the way, you can go to moderndaymerrick.blogspot.com.
That's a smart joke.
All the time. Yeah. And read JP's blog. And there's also banners there you can click. And now that I've got the niceties out of the way.
What a piece of garbage.
JP, what are you doing with this Facebook nonsense?
I don't know. I'm exploring my options as a human being in the digital society.
What'd you do? You unfriended a bunch of people this week?
Yeah, like 230 people.
Really? Do you have to do that one by one?
Yeah, it's really... You have to scroll through the thing, and Facebook will only show you like three lines at a time. So you have to scroll down and wait for it to refresh and scroll down and find someone I have never heard of or seen ever.
You sound like you need a job, JP.
You need a job. I do. I guess that's what it is. If I had less time to
You're
worry about it.
Creating your own job.
Yeah. If I had less time to worry Facebook about today. It, then I'm not going to worry about
you
it.
You should
right?
post a job ad is what you should.
It's true.
Here's my concern, JP.
Yeah.
Who cares about the Facebook
right.
friends? And, like, you're not sharing all that much on Facebook anyway. I worry that you care. It worries me.
No, I don't like really sit up at nights going, how many friends do I have? Or
no, I know that.
No.
I feel bad for those people.
But you're worried about, in other words, you're looking to weed out people from your feed so that you don't have to block them and so that they don't see, you don't want to share your life with them because you don't know them. But my whole thing is, it's Facebook. You're really only sharing your life with me and Taryn. That's it.
Yeah, well, no, there's
maybe
like
push on occasion.
There was like 830 people on my Facebook.
But you're
not like,
sharing your life
people.
On Facebook. You're posting a couple things. You're posting just like everybody else.
I don't know. I think what I post is sometimes can be personal, and sometimes I censor myself because I don't want to be too personal to all these people that I don't know.
I see.
But there's stuff I would like to share, and in my opinion, I think Facebook is very much a way to connect with friends and family.
But now that you've cut out 230 people,
what
are you left with? What are you left with?
Like 650 people.
You don't know these people either.
No, and I'm still trying to come down. But I also want, I don't know. I just want to get my circle a little more tight. People that I interact with, you know, people, I know a lot of the people I cut probably had me hid because they've never commented on anything or whatever. So, I don't know. I guess I was thinking one day when I was real depressed, why this kind of thing we have in the world of like why we feel bad about, we feel obligated to friend someone who requests us.
Right.
And then we feel bad about unfriending them, but we'll hide them from our feed. So you have this like ghost friend. I don't know. It's just weird. It's weird to me, I didn't like it. The whole thing kind of creeped me out.
The only thing that I differ with you is that I just don't care. I'll friend them or unfriend them. I get the guilt thing, but I guess it's just Facebook. So I don't give a shit if they're my friend or not. Like I'll friend anybody. Fucking Joe asks. Sometimes I think that I might be friending some racist like prick somewhere that I don't even know. Like, if I ever want to run for public office, what if they go through my feed and find out that I'm like friends with a baby killer?
Right.
But because it's Facebook, I don't give a shit. I don't need to know who they are. I frankly don't care if they know who I am. I just think you're not posting all that much on there.
Those are 200 people who are going to miss your insightful, searing political commentary, JP.
That's why I have Twitter. Twitter, for me, Twitter feels more comfortable being, you know, trying to be funny, and Facebook maybe for me is more of, I mean, I thought about just quitting Facebook entirely because it I don't know, kind of bores me. I'm like, well, maybe if I drill it down and kind of distill it to I think its true intended form, which is to communicate with friends and family, then I might get a little more use out of it, and then I might start using it a little more.
I don't know about all that. And all the people who heard about your award during the BNAs, the people I used to like before I knew them on Facebook, you won that award, and now they can't friend you.
Well, just go on Twitter, because that's where I'm really doing a lot of activity.
All right, what is your Twitter account?
Major Jip with two Ps.
Okay. And Jip, did you get new glasses?
Thank you for noticing. You're the second person in the past 2 weeks since I've had them.
You've had them for a year.
The other one being Bevo.
I see.
Because she works in an optometrist.
I like your new glasses.
Thank you.
I think you look very handsome in them.
Is this a compliment sandwich?
No.
However, your balls really smell.
Right.
But you have a good heart.
Right.
Yeah.
No, I just like your new glasses. That's
Thank you for noticing me.
Would you please post a picture of them on your Facebook account for your friends that are left?
Friends. I don't know.
Remaining friends.
I honestly genuinely felt bad, like in my heart, like no joke, in my soul. Like going through and seeing this really nice looking dude with his nice looking kid, and they're like, I'm really happy family, as if he had an army sweatshirt on. And I felt bad about hovering over friends and dropping down to unfriend, going, sorry, you look like a really nice guy, but I don't know who you are. And it bugs me.
Will that guy get notified that you dropped him?
No.
You just, but JP will disappear from his feed, so he'll eventually figure it out.
Yeah.
I have to admit that part of me honestly hoped that I was on the drop list because I haven't blocked you yet, and I feel guilt about blocking you.
Do you want me to drop you? I'll totally do it if you want.
Part of me does, part of me doesn't. So I haven't decided yet.
Well, let me know, because I can find you right now and it can happen.
And you can drop me.
Look, it's right here.
Part of me thinks that it would be good for our relationship if I didn't read what was going on in your brain on a day-to-day basis.
Do you want me to? I'm hovering over unfriend. I could do it right now.
But the other part of me will miss finding out how fucked up you are.
Well, let me know.
Okay.
Let me know. I'll take that burden upon myself.
Okay. All right.
This type of talk that leads me to believe that Facebook is indeed worth the $600 billion that investors seem to think.
Really? It is. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Right. Yeah. It's more valuable than Alcoa, the world's aluminum supplier.
Right. Wow. Okay. Well, speaking of valuable things, if you're looking at a new way to manage your brew day and your beer recipes, you can go to beersmith.com right now and get a free 21-day trial of the Beersmith software. And I'm a big fan of this stuff. If you've been listening to the show over the last couple of years, you know that, because it's an actually updated, new, usable software that has just tons of options. Scale recipes by batch size. You can track inventory if you're real geeky about what you have. Schedule your brewing activities. Mash profiles for advanced brewers. Convert recipes automatically from all grain to extract or back, which is good. You know, if you listen to Can You Brew It, for example, you need to do some conversions. There's over 300 recipes available on beersmith.com website, the recipe site. So, and more coming all the time. There's also a blog. You know, it's blog.beersmith.com if you want to read about what Brad's up to. And Brad's pretty into this brewing thing, not just his software, but he does a lot of experiments with the beer and really keeps his software up to date. So, I don't know. The point is, you don't have to take my word for it, because you get a free 21-day trial. So go to beersmith.com, check it out. If you don't like it, you didn't lose anything. But I'm pretty sure you'll never go back once you try it. All right. What else do we have to do today? 888-401-BEER if you want to call in for Drunk of the Week. Saw a couple people trying to Skype me also.
I'm editing the Twitter responses now for the game.
Okay. In the meantime, we got this beer to try. A brewery who came down to our Winterfest last weekend. From where are they from? Moscow.
Corvallis.
Yeah.
Oregon.
Flattail Brewing.
Yep.
Oregon, huh?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Dudes.
So they came down and they brought us a bunch of beer.
Yeah. Unfortunately, yeah. The owner Dave couldn't make it due to a last minute emergency, but he sent down his head brewer and his cellarman, and they brought us all kinds of awesome beer. So thanks for that, guys.
What's this one? That is in my glass.
This is the rye red ale we're drinking.
And they actually gave us a bunch of shirts to give away for the Twitter game and stuff. So those will probably be in whoever wins this, the thing.
I kind of love this beer.
Yeah.
This might be the best red ale I've had in a long, long time.
Yeah, it's really good.
It's got some chocolatey qualities, but it's not overly roasty. It's got an aggressive bitterness, but it's not harsh.
Yep.
It's nice.
The t-shirt for this, I don't know if you saw it. It's a red shirt, has a mustache on it, and says, "Want a ride?" R-Y-E-D.
Like a mustache,
yes.
Ride?
Yeah.
Nah.
It's really good. I really think it's funny.
That is pretty cool. I'm real serious about this beer. It's damn good.
It's tasty, yeah.
What did you say? Did it have rye in it, too?
Yeah.
What percentage is it? And then I'll really like it or not.
What's it?
It's pretty
not
big.
It's not going to say in here.
It's pretty big. I think it does. I think it's at least 7.
No, then I hate it.
Attenuation is nice.
If you can make this 5%, I would drink.
It's 8% by volume.
Yeah, it's 8, huh?
If you can make this 5%, I would drink it all day, every day.
I like it at 8.
Mm.
Yeah,
on my empty stomach.
It's dead. I'm like eating crackers like they're going out of style.
Be drunk in 8 minutes.
It's a good beer. That rye comes through really, really nicely. It's showcased very well.
Yeah.
There's Galaxy in the beer, an Australian hop. Big tropical and citrus quality. That's kind of cool.
Yeah.
Does kind of go well with that spiciness of the rye, too.
Yeah.
It does have a firm bitterness. It's right there. A little more bitterness, and I'd go the other way on this beer and say, nah, it's a little too much, but it's just at the cusp.
Yeah, I'm kind of wondering if it's English ale yeast, too. There's an interesting ester quality that's in the background, but it's not up front and center too much, but it's definitely got a little more than a Cal ale yeast beer.
Yeah. What's the brewery called again?
Flattail Brewing.
All right. Well, check them out. Corvallis, Oregon.
Go
I like
Beavers.
It. Yeah, they brought us a bunch of beer. They were real nice to us. Thor is on the line. Looks like he's calling in for Drunk of the Week. Hey, Thor, what's happening?
Hey, how are you doing?
We're doing good. How are you, man?
I'm not doing too bad.
Sitting in my bathtub.
Yeah, drinking some Chivas Regal.
Chivas Regal.
Keeping it regal. Yeah. Oh, that's a good campaign for Chivas Regal.
No, I was a little wine hole.
I'm just keeping it regal. That'd be good.
Oh, keeping it regal.
Yeah.
Chivas Regal.
They should buy that one from you, man.
I'm gonna Twitter them now.
So, what time is it there, Dora? It's pretty late, huh?
Well, it's close to midnight.
Oh, it's not too bad.
No, this is really great with these early shows, so.
Yeah. How come what have you been practicing your English or something? Where's your accent gone?
I am American.
That's funny. When he drinks, he turns into an American. His accent goes away.
Well, actually, I've been hanging out with a guy, Brian Davis, an American from Chicago.
You would.
Who, is now brewing for Goose Island. And,
oh.
Kind of rubbed off me there.
Goose Island. I got a Goose Island beer right here. They sent me a...
Oh, wow.
They've got a new thing out called Bourbon County, and it's like three different beers. I thought you guys might want to try some. This one is their Bourbon County brand stout, and then there's a Bourbon County coffee stout, and then there's something else in there, too.
That looks awesome.
Want to crack that open? There's a little spec sheet on it here if you want to... If anybody
spec
cares.
Sheet.
Let me see. Bourbon County. That one's brand stout facts. That one's a 14.5% beer.
Holy shit. This says stout aged in rye whiskey barrels with raspberries and blackberries added.
Yeah. 14.5 ABV. Hot bitterness. 60 IBUs in that bad boy. They have the color listed as midnight.
No SRM needed.
Yeah, I kind of like
that.
Is that
a moonlit midnight?
Yeah, which exactly. 30 Plato OG. The malt bill on that is 2-row, Munich, chocolate, caramel 60, roasted barley, debittered black.
12.7% alcohol.
Terrence is a debittered black, isn't he?
Yeah, he is. He kind of accepts
pretty
everything.
Unbitter.
He's not angry about anything anymore. No,
no, well, I just feel that whatever Jesus tells you to do.
You kind of sound like Terrence. Only hop in that is Willamette. Just one hop.
Got so much malt character and everything else, I guess don't need a big hop, complex hop thing.
They say that this beer will develop in the bottle for up to 5 years from the bottling date. Cap it up again. Close it back up, Moscow. I want to see if it ages. I'm just kidding. Go ahead and pour it.
Oh, wow.
Is it good?
It's good.
Yeah?
It's got a lot of fruit character, but it doesn't come across as sweet.
I got to chug this red ale to get to that.
It's really interesting.
All right, Thor, you been drinking all day or what?
I started around 7 with some Chivas Regal, and then I've been drinking a few pints of my double.
Yeah.
I got a Scotty to kill for tomorrow, so need to drink that.
So the only way I can tell that you're drunk is that you're speaking English really well.
Yeah, actually, yeah.
It's about right?
Yep.
How's the brewery going out there?
Really good, actually. I'm starting to brew up something. Fuck, I forgot. Anyways.
All right. You're in the running for Drunk of the Week, my friend.
Okay, thank you very much, sir.
Cheers, brother.
Cheers.
There you go. Thor from Denmark.
Drunk. Pretty good. All right, I tweeted Chivas Regal with our new ad campaign. Keep it regal.
Chicken vagina in the chat room thinks that midnight is a racist description.
I would. Is it racist or is it just accurate?
Anything that remotely insinuates a dark color is racist.
Yeah.
Yes. We're not allowed to even say the word black anymore.
Yeah. Well, I have my sunglasses on. Racist.
Wow, this smells super fruity, like an old barley wine kind
of
fruity.
Gay guy.
Mm. There's a lot of berry in it.
Yeah, like blackberry. Sherry. Was there blackberry in
very
this?
Berry in the nose, yeah. Berry in the flavor. Yeah.
Scott, would you hand me that bottle, please? Thanks, buddy. Mm. You're my friend.
Mm. Wow.
Dual berries.
Yeah.
It's not quite like I would have expected.
Jammy.
Yeah, jammy is a good
that's
descriptor
a great
for it.
Descriptor.
It's even syrupy, like blueberry syrup, like IHOP.
That doesn't come across as overly sweet, though.
I get a little IHOP pancake
IHOP
in there.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, man.
The blueberry shit, yes.
It's a sipper. I do like it. They sent it in this 22-ounce bottle, and I think all of us would barely get through it.
Yeah, we need like 8 people to share this.
Yeah, there's no way I could drink even 10 ounces of this. For
their standard Bourbon County
2 ounces
stout
would be the standard pour in that thing.
In 12 ounces for that reason, I think, almost.
I got to say, we need to add IHOP to the BJCP descriptor because, for one, I really like the IHOP pancakes with the blueberry syrup, so it's a good thing, and it's exactly what it tastes like.
It really is.
But we need to get real specific. So what state is the IHOP located in? What's their clientele look like?
What's the exit off the interstate?
Right.
Yeah. To me, it's right off Highway 4 in Martinez. This is the IHOP right here.
Give me some bacon with this and cut that sweetness.
Yeah.
I'm all about it.
I like the bacon thing.
Yeah.
It would work good.
Well, this is just one version of it. They sent us 3 versions, so
that's good. It's really good.
After we get out of here, we can try some of the other ones. 888-401-BEER if you want to compete for Drunk of the Week, do it now. Right now, we just got Tour, and we're getting out of here pretty quick. Next week, we're looking at Sun King Brewing on the show. Where's Sun King from?
Oh,
I know those guys.
Alaska, I would guess, right? Isn't that Alaska?
That's Midnight Sun.
No.
Racist.
Colorado?
Wow.
Hmm. Nope.
Look it up, will you?
Yes, they are in Indianapolis, Indiana.
That's what I said.
Yeah, I love India. City. It's a great country. Yeah, we're trying to do a Monday show. Right now we're scheduled for a Sunday show next week. But you know, Tasty, Sour Beer Festival at Triple Rock is on Sunday.
Yeah. I'm already sold. Monday show, for sure.
Yeah, you know I'm all about that festival.
Sour Sunday is one of the best Sundays in the world.
I love it. In fact, I don't even dig most of SF Beer Week. But I always dig the that sour beer event at Triple Rock. Yeah. So I'm trying to get Moscow to push the guests over to Monday.
Yeah.
So we'll see how that goes. We'll update you via...
Twofs.
Yeah. Assuming JP stays on Facebook long enough to do a couple more updates, we'll let you know.
Well, you know, I took the liberty of kind of culling everyone from our Facebook page, too.
Oh, you did? Yeah. So we're down to five. We now have five fans.
I can track that.
It was
kind
so much
thing,
fun. You could
like,
stop.
Yeah. Like, if you don't like it after 6 months, if you don't like anything, well, then you're not even the
They never
real
commented
fan.
Or gave a thumbs up on anything you posted. So.
How am I supposed to know, right? I'm not talking to an empty room.
I mean, just throw them in the can, right?
Right?
I'm getting that.
Right.
You gave them an opportunity, and they didn't take it, so.
Hey, you know what else is happening later this month? Return of the Beef.
What?
No way.
She's back.
She's back in the rotation. We're going to rotate our bitches. I'm sorry. I meant our girls, Susie. No.
Our ladies.
Our ladies. I meant our ladies.
Of the night.
Our women.
Yes.
Going to rotate my hoes.
Got to keep it fresh, baby.
Keep it fresh. Let's make Susie and Beef become master cicerone.
Oh, all of our...
I'm
you
studying
should,
for BJCP right now.
Are you studying for it?
Yeah.
Is that right?
Right.
Hell yeah.
When are you going to take the test?
I don't know. Class starts next week.
Okay.
So.
What class are you taking?
I'm taking a BJCP prep class brought down by, what's his name, Roger St. Denny and Dennis Dave Messing from Words of Wisdom. And
That's your club, right?
That's my club, yeah. We're putting together a prep class, and then we're going to take the test in about 18 weeks.
You know, someday I may ask you to choose between clubs, you know, the Brewing Network Club and the Words of Wisdom.
You know what? I used to,
you better
like...
be prepared for that.
I've actually won my biggest award being a Brewing Network Club member.
See?
There you go.
Yeah, coincidence? Because, no, not at all.
That's because we're the best club on earth. That's
we're
why.
Hella sick.
I actually like a whole bunch of the people.
There were a lot of BN winners at the Mashout last week, I noticed. Of various categories. I'm forgetting right now exactly who, but it was cool to see that at least four or five.
Yeah, I haven't even asked people to start making sure they're going to intern stuff so that we can repeat. I've just left it out there, assuming that the Army was going to do it on their own.
They will, I'm sure. You know, this is an official club meeting, as if we haven't called it to order already.
Right.
Our gavel is the wiener bottle opener.
I love our gavel. Yeah.
It's pretty good.
That's true. You hit the ball side or the head side?
Oh, always the head side.
You think so? But the ball is more of like the gavel part.
Yeah, but the ball hurts.
Is it like a call to order side or decision-making side?
You gotta mix it up.
Yeah, you can do either one. Whatever Susie wants is what happens. Anyway, so we're going to start rotating the beef back in. I like the idea that all of our call screeners should be master cicerones. Completely overqualified. You know.
Yeah, that'd be good. They have a year to pass the test or they're out.
Yeah, so it's better study for more than that BJCP, Susie.
Yeah, Susie.
Not have much time.
Yeah.
February 2013. Want to see Master Cicerone on that resume.
You did fill out an application, right?
The rest of us don't do anything. Nothing. We don't even judge. JP won't even judge in a single competition.
The only thing I judge is online.
So are you going to ask Tasty and I to choose between Doe's and the BN, too?
I'm just saying.
That ultimatum?
I'm just saying you better be prepared that the question may come down one day.
Got it,
but we're actually,
someday I'm going to ask you for a favor. And when that day comes...
That's how it works.
You know, we're not so much as mad that you haven't done it yet. We're just disappointed in both of you.
Right.
See, I told you you'd make a great dad,
right?
JP.
I licked the mic cover.
Don't do that.
Jamil's been sick. That mother.
You just got pneumonia. Pneumonia just jumped in your mouth.
I'm gonna start wearing sweatpants now.
Fire Tires, is that the name?
Yeah.
Fire Tires is on the phone. Hey man, what's happening?
Faritari.
How's it going?
It's going pretty well. You drinking?
You can't be giving DOTW to some foreigner.
This is America.
American holiday.
This is America. America.
That's true. I will tell you that if a foreign country takes DOTW on Super Bowl Sunday, you all should be ashamed of yourselves.
Un-American.
Exactly. That's some junk right there.
That is some junk.
Can I put that
you
in the trunk?
Can't have it.
Are you hanging out by yourself today?
I am. My family's around, but, you know, I'm trying to hide from them.
Now, when you say family, like you live with your mother, or that's your wife, you mean?
Yeah. No, my wife, kids, yeah, you know.
Same thing.
All right. How long have you been...
I'm not quite in the basement. She does kick me there, but, you know.
How long have you been married?
Almost 16 years.
Wow. When did you stop liking her?
A couple minutes ago, really.
When she sent me down to the basement.
No, actually, I said, who the hell are you talking to? I said, the BN. She goes, yeah. I said, that's it. That's enough.
That's enough out of you. Don't make
exactly.
Me. So, you've been drinking homebrew or what?
Yeah.
What have you been drinking?
Almost strictly homebrew.
What kind?
Schwartz beer.
Mm-hmm. I like Schwartz beer.
It's pretty good.
Lots of Schwartz beer.
Are you,
you know,
a lager?
I started counter-press. No, I hate lager.
Oh.
I hate lager. I hate lager brewing. But I started counter pressure bottling it, and it was a mess, and it ruined my kitchen. But I kept drinking it, and here I am.
And here I am. Who are you rooting for today, the Celtics or the Padres?
I am completely behind the Red Sox.
Yeah, that's good. They're a good team.
Good choice.
Hey, you guys see, on a serious note, you seen that movie Moneyball?
No.
Yeah.
I just JP,
yeah.
You won't like it.
No,
but
it's about baseball.
I love baseball movies.
Mm-hmm.
Like a good, there's nothing like a good baseball movie.
Like Field of Dreams.
If you build,
yeah,
they
you.
Will come.
Moneyball is a great baseball movie.
I'll check it
out. I love this
really
movie.
Is.
I just saw it the other day, and I don't do this whole movie endorsement thing very often. But I'm telling you, I loved this movie. That's
good.
All.
There well, it's go. Important to love things in the world.
Right,
it keeps you going.
So on a scale of,
if you unfriend me, then it's all over.
What's your name?
I'm not telling you.
I'm
at least
not
you stand a chance that way.
Telling you.
It's Russian roulette, dude.
Shit.
All right. On a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being the drunkest you've ever been, what are you right now?
I'm probably only 07.
Pussy.
All right. Okay. I got you in the running for drunk of the week, man.
All right, bro.
Cheers, brother.
Hey, keep it real. And JP?
Yeah.
Keep it real and don't take an arrow to the knee.
Right. I don't play Skyrim, I'm sorry.
All right.
What?
That's
does
a,
that mean to
that's a WoW joke?
No, it's an a video game meme joke.
I see.
It's real funny, as you can tell.
70% drunk.
But at least he plays video games. He's a gamer, so that means that he's a nice man anyways.
I'm getting an update from Minnesota Hazmat that there were 7 BN medals from Mashout. 5
nice.
Golds.
Thank you, Hazmat.
And 2 silvers.
That's a good showing.
Great competition.
Shit, yeah. Love it. I got Nikolai Bach on Skype. What's happening, man?
Oh, yeah. Hey,
Nikolai.
How are you doing? I'm from Denmark, too, like Tor.
Another Dane, huh?
Oh, well, you're disqualified.
Oh, yeah, you're broadcasting quite early, so we're here.
I love it. So you've been drinking all day?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah? What do you had?
I had a couple of homebrews, and I had a commercial homebrew. We were 10 homebrewers that brewed that earlier. Sorry for my English. It's hard being drunk and talking English as well.
Right. You don't speak better English the drunker you get.
No, not at all.
It goes the other way. I think people, you should, you know... We get that a lot where people from other countries will apologize for their English. And all I can think is, I'm the idiot in the room. Yeah. Nobody in America knows another language.
Yeah.
You don't need to apologize for your English.
And their apology is so eloquent. They're like, listen, my sincerest apologies for not speaking completely perfect English.
And I'm like, I'm the moron. You're fine.
I couldn't ask for where the bathroom is in your language.
Right. Susie speaks another language. What do you speak, Susie?
I speak Vietnamese. I understand Spanish. And I can read and write in French, but I can't speak it.
Really?
Because that's where my family is from.
Could you call, you said Vietnamese?
Mm-hmm.
Could you call Nikolai a stupid, drunken asshole in Vietnamese?
Yeah, I can.
Let me hear that.
Nikolai Maya, hold on.
See, we're never going to know if she's really doing it or not.
I know. She'd call him make it up right
call
now.
Call him a green cat. I wouldn't know.
Right.
Well, she wrote me tits earlier, so that's okay for me.
She wrote you tits.
Yeah, accidentally. Sure.
What does that mean?
Tits? I was writing tits to somebody else.
She was sexting him. That's what it was.
You got inadvertently sexted.
She's running another operation over there.
That's a good day, is what that is.
That made my day. Yeah.
It's a good dame too. If you know what I mean.
I was just like, sorry, that wasn't for you. Really? What about the other comment about anal? Was that for me? No, that wasn't for you either.
Tour wants us to get this guy to say refrigerator or squirrel.
All right, Nikolai, can you say refrigerator?
Refrigerator.
Perfect.
How about squirrel?
Squirrel.
Yeah, fuck you,
what
Tor.
What is he talking about?
Yeah, he's funny.
I'm going to kick Tor. Just
how about Rumpelstiltskin?
Rumpelstiltskin.
Yeah! What a loser! You can't even say Rumpelstiltskin, bro.
Did you speak English?
Yeah. Can't even say Skilskin, man.
On a scale of 1 to 10, Nikolai, how drunk are you?
Blue.
Well, an 8.
You're an 8.
Wow. I've been to the toilet twice.
Oh, you have? Geez. You've thrown up twice?
Well, once and peed twice.
I see.
I'm good.
Sorry for letting you know.
I call peeing puking because I puke out of my penis.
That's fine.
Yeah, well, you probably do, JP.
I do.
Yeah,
trust
you
me.
Probably do.
Comes
that's
out all
a
clumpy.
Good t-shirt. Yeah, you probably do, JP. Is that everybody can wear that. Susie, did you figure it out how to call him a drunken, stupid asshole?
Oh, I forgot.
She can't speak another language.
No, I can't speak another language.
No, I can speak 10, but I'm not going to do it.
Nikolai sai kwa, my ngukwa.
See? What a bitch. Why you got to be so mean to him?
Right. All right, Nikolai, you're in the running, brother.
Oh, thanks.
Cheers, man.
Yeah.
Okay, and who's on two? Fat Tail.
No, oh. Dave from Flat Tail.
Flat Tail, Dave.
Oh, yeah.
That's probably not a drunk of the week.
Hey, Dave, what's happening, man?
What if it was?
Not a whole lot. How are you guys doing?
Good, man. Good.
Enjoying your beer, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, thank you much for the good words. We're enjoying tailgating the Sunday session here in Corvallis.
Love it. Yeah. Oh, that's cool, man. The beer you sent's pretty impressive, dude.
Yeah.
Well, thank you much. Yeah, glad you guys are enjoying it. I was listening to the little review there you were talking about and figured I'd shoot your recipe if any of the homebrewers out there would like it, that kind of thing.
Oh, let's do it, because I would want to brew that beer, too. Give me the recipe.
Well, there we go. So off the top of my head, I'm going to put it out there that this may not be 100% correct, considering we were on the tailgate of an F-250, not the brewery. But it actually has 10% rye, and it's all Weirmann rye malt. The remainder of the base malt is Simpson's Golden Promise. It's 100% Galaxy hops. And then it's got Kara Munich, Munich Type 2, and Simpson's C150 making up the specialty malt. So it's about 95% base malt, and then that remaining 5% is the Kara Munich Type 3, Weirmann Munich Type 2, and Simpson's C150. And it actually is 1056, so no English ale yeast there.
Ah, okay. I'll tell you, that 5% specialty, in my uneducated opinion, is the secret to this beer. Because it does have, like we were talking about the malt flavor and the character, but none of it was overwhelming or too sweet or anything else, because you really kept it to a minimum, like just 5%.
Yeah, absolutely. We very rarely use more than 4 or 5% Kara malt. Anything unfermentable, we try to keep under 5%. I'm a big fan of dry beers. I think it lends to the drinkability of the finished product, particularly in, you know, something that's 8% ABV and hopped out the ass. You know, it helps to have it be dry enough to be drinkable.
Right.
Yeah, and then as far as the hops go, we use a 15-5-0. There's no bittering addition. It's all Australian Galaxy, and we use 3.5 pounds per barrel of the Galaxy at 15.50, and then there's a tiny dry hop, but it's fairly insignificant. It's about a 0.2 pounds per barrel of the dry hop.
Okay. It's a great beer.
Really nice.
Thanks
beer.
For sharing the recipe, man.
Wow.
I love it.
Yeah. Thanks again. Yeah, of course.
And your dudes were cool. They came down to the Winterfest. They came up for a minute there. I thought they were just crashing the party. They came in and they're like, "Hey, we've been emailing with you, and we're here with our beer." And I'm just at first I'm thinking, "Who the fuck are you? You weren't emailing me anything."
Yeah, right. Bunch of dicks.
But then, for one, they were super nice, and I said, well, there's probably a table here somewhere. But then I found out they were actually emailing with Moscow, so they weren't really crashing the party at all.
Yeah, there you go. Well, you know, two guys with mustaches walk up, and God only knows what they're trying to accomplish.
Well, what I honestly thought, like, at the end, I was like, that's a pretty clever way to get into a beer fest that you weren't invited to.
That's something I would have done.
Just go up when it's super busy and just tell the guy, hey, guy, I'm here.
I was emailing you.
You're expecting me.
I got a bunch of beer.
Right.
I told them to drive up in the company van and offer you candy, but apparently they took a different route.
Right. They pushed out, man.
Well, we did walk away with a bunch of good beer from you guys. I got two growlers. One was a sour beer.
Oh, what the fuck? I didn't get any sour beer.
It was real good, too.
The African rooibos wit.
Yeah, it was tasty.
Racist.
No, I didn't say black. It's African.
Okay. Oh, you're right. Sorry. My fault. I'm the racist. Yeah.
Countryist. Continentist.
It's our Detroit-style imperial wit, actually.
Okay.
That's the official name.
Well, apparently it was good. JP the asshole.
Thank you much. Yeah,
yeah, it was tasty.
It there you go. I know.
All right, Dave, we got to get out of here, but thanks, man. I really appreciate it.
Of course. Thank you, guys.
All right, and we're going to give away your T-shirts for today's Twitter game. So good job, brother.
Oh,
thanks.
Fantastic.
All right.
All right, have a good one.
Cheers. Okay, there you go. Flat tail. What time does the game start? Right now?
Yeah, I think kickoff's like 10 minutes, right?
Okay. So your Drunk of the Week people for this week are Thor, two people from Denmark against only one American on this Super Bowl Sunday. You had Thor, you had Fire Tires, and you had Nikolai. I'm voting Nikolai. Anybody else want to throw in a vote here?
Yeah, I could go for Nikolai. For
Nikolai
sure.
Seemed the most drunk to me.
Yeah, he seemed to be definitely drunk.
I just can't bring myself to vote for a Dane on Super Bowl Sunday. I'm sorry. I got to go with Fire Tires.
Okay. You're going to do the biased American vote. Gotcha.
He went to the bathroom twice and threw up once and peed twice.
Well, he technically, as JP pointed out, he threw up all three times. It's just that two of them were out of his penis.
Right.
Oh, okay. But did he pee and throw up at the same time?
Good question.
Because if
he did, I bet even Moscow would change his vote.
I would.
I vote for Nikolai.
How can you not?
Eight.
Plus, he did call himself an eight. Yeah.
Let's just do it. Let's just go Nikolai.
Nate, any objections?
It'll cost us like $25 to ship his money.
I wonder if we should change the rules of, not this week, but going forward, that the vote has to be unanimous. So we have to convince each other of who the drunk of the week
is. That's going to go real hard when it's like a 5-hour show and we're like, let's just get the fuck out of here.
But then you guys will just, you'll just lie.
One of us might go the angry juror, the 12th juror, and just refuse to give in.
And then it's a mistrial. It's a misdrunk.
Right. Then nobody wins.
And nobody wins on a misdrunk.
Six-hour show.
And if you think about it, it would go a long way for the listener to really take it seriously and want the drunk to be truly drunk, that we don't give away Drunk of the Week if it's a misdrunk. If no one's convinced the whole crew that they're really drunk...
Let's do it.
It's a
nothing.
All right, well, this week it sounds unanimous anyway. Nikolai, you're our Drunk of the Week.
You guys are all traitors.
Oh, it's not unanimous, actually. Moscow didn't get in. You're lucky that the rule doesn't start till next week. All right. How long will it take you to do your plugs, JP? Because the song is 1 minute and 8 seconds long.
Well, we have a Twitter game also.
Oh, let's do that first.
Okay.
What are our? What was the game?
The game was I want you to name three positive things about Bud Miller and Coors. Saints Gambit wrote, they make a consistent product, provide jobs with Americans.
Oh, I like that.
And make beers that 90% of the public enjoys.
Americans.
It's true. Xubru says, people that drink Bud don't drink my beer. People that drink Miller don't drink my beer. My beer is safe.
Okay.
Pretty good one. Reed 715 writes, funny commercials. They employ a lot of people. And shit, I can't do it.
Funny commercials is a good one.
Yep.
Misdemeanor Brew says, cheap, consistent, and doesn't make me sad when it's spilled.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, dig that. Tudor Brew.
I just got a really good look at Susie's boobs when she was putting her jacket on. No. She kind of did like the arms back thing.
Right, well, how do you rate them on a scale of 1 to 10?
Well, they're great boobs.
Yeah.
Whose boobs would be 10s? I mean, because you need
this sort of 3 months ago.
Well, Marcel's
wife. Bevo's circa 3 months ago. That's a good call.
Brittany has some pretty good boobs.
Great rack.
Oh, that's the broad whose rack I really liked, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, she is a 10. Susie, You are a 7.5.
Wow. Yes.
Yeah.
High praise.
Average.
Yeah.
No, 5 would be average out of 10.
Yeah. 5, that's true.
I'm not good with math, dude.
Could we get back to, can we stop, defying thing, whatever. Tudor Bruce says, Bud reinvented the refrigerated railroad. 2, Coors set aside half of their production for World War II soldiers. And 3, it's a gateway beer to craft beer.
Okay. That was all from one person?
Yep. Jesus. And Village Brew says, my girlfriend just got a job with Anheuser-Busch. My girlfriend gets paid by Anheuser-Busch. I use Anheuser-Busch money to make home brew. Oh.
His girlfriend has a bush.
Yeah. Ooh, that would be 4.
Just finishing the word salad.
Yes.
Go on.
That's it.
Huh. Tough ones there. Like? I like the jobs one. For some reason, I'm very sensitive to that lately, and I'm feeling sad for the American public who's jobless.
Me too. Me too.
I like that one, and you know the other one I like is the railroad one.
Oh, the invention. It's true. The Anheuser-Busch invented the railroad car.
They invented the refrigerated railroad car. And that really did allow for beer to be distributed. Because before that time, it was... Oh, actually, maybe that's a bad thing. Before that time, you had to have a local brewery. So maybe it's a negative.
But now it's a positive because now places like Sierra Nevada can distribute far away while keeping their product safe.
Right. By the way, they decided on their new brewery. Did you hear that?
Yeah. I did hear that.
North Carolina.
Near Asheville, yeah.
Yep, right near Asheville.
Those are my 2 votes. Anybody else have a vote for?
I did like the My Beer Is Safe guy.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah, I like that.
That was good.
Yeah, yeah. Anybody else? So those are 3 people?
I like Village Brew, where his girlfriend got a job with AB, and she gets paid by AB, and he uses AB money to homebrew. Because number one, he's sponging off his wife.
Exactly. I figured you'd love that.
Yeah. And then second, he's using big corporate money to homebrew, which is kind of, I don't know, I think it's pretty good.
I'm sold. I switch my vote to that one as well.
Agreed.
All right. I go with that.
All right.
Village Brew!
Well done. Oh, wait, sorry. Susie, did you have a vote?
I voted for the same one.
Okay! Yay! All right. All right.
I can do plugs in a minute.
In 1 minute and 8 seconds?
Yep.
All right. Pay attention to our Twitter feed and stuff this week because we might switch our Sunday show to Monday, which means Moscow, make that happen.
Please.
Here's the other thing. Moscow's going to homebrew with Doc that day. Moscow thinks he wants to come do a show after homebrewing with Doc all day. Oh. And I'm like, you think that's what you want to do?
Well,
it is not what you want to do.
It's what he wants to do, maybe, but it won't happen. He thinks it's going to be actually be able to happen, and he's not. You're right. He's not going to be able to come down off the hill.
First of all, one of you needs to. I know you're going with a buddy, right?
Yeah.
All right. Make sure that you plan for Alexa to arrive separately and pick you up. I'm just going to tell you that right now.
Yes.
And you don't want to do a show that day, so make this happen. I want a Monday show next week.
All right. Well,
you can do it. Sun King Brewery, listen to me right now. Yeah. You got to move to Monday. And it's not your fault. It's not you, it's me.
Right.
What am I going to do? My buddy Phil, he's got a real job. He's unlike the American public you feel so bad for. He works.
We don't need Phil here.
We do.
Right.
Phil can phone in. He can phone it in. Yeah. We don't need him here
I'm sure Phil is really interesting and a nice guy and great
he
on
is.
The air.
I need Phil here.
We don't need Phil.
Yeah. We don't even need you here, to be honest.
The segment isn't going to happen until later on Monday anyway. So he needs to get here by what? 7 o'clock? 8 o'clock? It'll be fine.
Okay. Yeah.
All right.
Phil will be fine.
Yeah,
move that
Phil's
shit
great.
To Monday.
Yeah. You're worried about one guy, and we're worried about our whole show. Great, Scott.
I'm just worried about my sour
beer. I have my allegiances.
Well, yeah, I know, but he doesn't need to know that.
All right, and that's that. I know that JP's going to do this plug, but I just want to give an extra special part of it. Please go check out the Biscuit Files .tumblr. That's the adoption blog. I need to get this dog adopted. I got this pit bull here who's amazing. She's fantastic. But she doesn't get along with my dog, and Walker is having to hide in the bedroom because she wants to fuck him up. But she's a fantastic dog. She's very people friendly. She seems to be other dog friendly, but she doesn't like Walker. She doesn't like black dogs.
Racist.
I think. She's a racist.
Yeah.
Anyway, if you know anybody who's looking for an amazing dog, this dog's incredible. She's really cool. I'm pretty sure he won't admit it, but even JP likes this dog. She's a cool dog.
If the dog was a cat, I would like it a lot.
Anyway, JP's going to plug it as well, but I just want to put an extra special thing out there. I got to get this dog adopted, so tell your friends. Okay. Is that it, everybody?
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
Have a good Super Bowl day, kids.
Kill it.
Thank you to our show sponsor, More Beer. You can get absolutely everything you need to make great beer at home by going to morebeer.com. The Trophy Fire's new album entitled Modern Hearts is available now at GradeARecords.com. Pick that up and support our friend and yours, Mrs. Adam Schumann. Get all the latest info on Nate's band, Brain Oil, by going to BrainOil.com and check out Nate on Twitter at NathanHomebrew. Nicole is also on Twitter. Follow her at beer_muse. Need a dog? Rescue a pit named Prada from Justin's house and JP's life. View Jay's rescue project at thebiscuit.tumblr.com. Tasty says the entry window for the 2012 AHA National Homebrew Comp is March 19th through the 28th. Many of the regions are maxed out, so register early. For follow JP on Twitter at MajorJip for all things insane and low value to your life. And be sure to find the Brewing Network on Facebook and Twitter.